Oh, one more time. Great is He that is in me. Believe it tonight. Hallelujah. How we thank Him for that. Great is He that is in us. What a revelation to know it's Christ in us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. This is Cynthia Sensi. We like pray for her daughter Alicia. Her swollen tonsils. Brother Ken Hutchinson requests prayer for his wife Rosalind and two friends, Elton and Kathleen, for salvation of the soul. Brother Larry requests prayer for the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Almighty God, author of life and giver of every good and perfect gift, as we stand in your divine presence tonight, we know, Father, that you came and you shed your blood. You paid a price to redeem back every redemptive blessing that was rightfully ours back in the beginning. You sent the Holy Spirit, Lord, to bring it to pass, to confirm it in our lives, to make the promise sure. You sent your word, Lord, in this hour to enlighten us, O God, as how we should come, how we should approach you. What belongs to us, Father, we can have it now. And Lord God, here at these requests, representing these needy ones, they come tonight, Father, knowing that you are here with us. And Lord, they are looking unto you, that you would grant them these desires of their hearts. Father, we have no reason to doubt, for it is said, Lord, to confession and faith, we are subject to all our powers that is in heaven. And Almighty God, we stand here in the name of Jesus Christ. I lay my hands upon this request, representing these needy ones, Father. And with their faith and the faith of the saints of God, being united together, Father, Lord, we look unto you through your unfailing will of promise, and we ask that you grant them the desires of their heart in the name of Jesus Christ, who made the promise. Let it be done, Father, knowing that thy word is true and it will not return unto you void. And Father, we pray tonight as we gather in this service, Lord, we sit around your supper table. God, you'd break the bread, and we would know you in the breaking of the bread, that there'll be stimulation of revelation, Father. Lord God, there'll be such an awakening in the hearts and lives of your people, O God, that we'll see the church will be lifted in the power of God. We'll see people be made ready, Father, moving out into that sphere where the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire could fill every heart, and the church to write another book of Acts as it is spoken, that it shall be done this hour. Grant it, Father. We ask it tonight in the precious and worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. With thanksgiving, amen. Let's turn our Bibles. St. Luke chapter 14, Revelation chapter 3. I want to study Revelation 19, which is really in the book of Revelation, but we're just going through the scriptures. We see the whole Bible just tying together to make plain the word unto us. Reading from verse 15. Amen. In Luke chapter 14, verse 15. And when one of them sat at meat with him, heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man gave a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time. Notice thy servant singular and his supper time. Not lunch time or breakfast time, but supper time is in the evening time. To say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in the poor, and the maimed, and the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out, this is the third time now, into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men who were bidden shall taste of my supper. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou would cool or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So this is just relative to St. Luke 14. Those who rejected his supper, but he's speaking to individuals who hear my voice, I will come in and sup with them. Revelation 19, verse 17, again, with the third night, we're just taking this. And I saw an angel, verse 17, standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. The supper is the evening time again. That you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beasts, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, and wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and a remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, with sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask of you tonight, you'd speak to our hearts. That's why we have come. Recognize we are always late and the time is far spent. Sometimes, Lord, we even ponder in our hearts whether the doors have been closed. But oh God, until you would show us something to confirm that, something that is definite, Lord, Lord, we want to keep believing there could be one more to come in, Lord. While we stand here in your presence tonight, Lord, how we ask of you to speak to our hearts. Lord, it would give us understanding. And we'd see the time that we are living in. And we'd make ready, Lord, and we'd esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. Lord, we take away with the Lord despised few. We'd follow that great leader of eternal life, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, realize this is our when we are confronted with the leadership of eternal life, when we are confronted with the life moving on, to reject the Lord is dead, but to accept His life eternal. Grant us ears to hear tonight. May the Spirit speak so expressly. May the word become real. It will influence us. Our lives will be transformed to be more like Jesus Christ. Have your way amongst us in this service. You commit each and every one of your hands. And may you be the principal team, the center of attraction. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Can I have your seat? I want to welcome everyone in the house of God tonight. Truly appreciate your fine attendance and the sacrifice that you're making. For many of you, it's difficult, the financial part of it, with your families, be traveling back and forth night after night from San Fernando, different places they're coming from. But may God bless you. You're living for me that perisheth not. You're trying to lay a hold on things that are eternal. And I believe that Jehovah Jireh will provide for you. Amen. I believe you have faith. And the very expression of your faith coming out here, looking unto God to really give your heart's desire in these services, that you who are lovers of the word, who hunger and thirst after righteousness, shall be filled. Last night we were speaking there again on the coming judgment of Ahab and Jezebel, which is just a little subject on our little inspiration that the Holy Spirit seemed to be given unto us at this time in the outpouring of the seven last vials in the book of Revelation. We're trying to preach and taking this inspiration from the message that God has sent to the prophet. Now, many people in the message, no doubt, would be acquainted with the seven church ages because there are seven churches book, and acquainted with the seven seals because there are seven seals book. And then they do have a seven thunders book, and they do have a seven trumpets book, and they do have a seven vials book. So they kind of think that that is a grounds that people would presume to go upon. But in the opening of the seven seals was the revealing of the entire book. Amen. Amen. And then the prophet later on, as I always refer to this, one of these quotes here in The God is Evil Age, somewhere on page 4. He says, I'm trying to send the anointing of the Holy Spirit to see which one to open up to you, which message to bring out the message of the hour to you. And he's been bringing out message God power to transform about the two Edens, Satan Eden and God's Eden, and he's been bringing out the God of this evil age, and I knew it not, the people in the last days, all these things accumulating together to draw a picture. He's been preaching about the cloud and the supreme judge, the cloud being turned, and the sign of us being in the Lord's day, which is between his priesthood and his kingship, about the third Exodus and the pillar of fire coming back in the evening time, about the only provided place of worship, where God is meeting with the true believer in this hour, about the token, the only place the wrath of God would not strike, about spiritual food in due season, the secret place that Elijah had to enter before the judgment. All these were things by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He was looking into the word and opening up to the believer for us to understand spiritually the hour. And in more personalized things in the church, there's a man here that can turn on the light. Who do you say this is? On the unveiling of the mighty God, the masterpiece, all these things, Christ, the mystery of God revealed, showing us in the church, in the spiritual realm, how far advanced the church have been. Christ is revealing his own word where he shows us he was the eyes, and the next thing was the intelligence, the coming to the body there, and how we have moved from the mouth age, the Pentecostal speaking tongues, into the eye age, where the light of coming, the evening time to shine upon the world that the light never shine upon. Now, to many people, they don't appreciate the message that way, but that is the way we believe by the grace of God. God was giving out to the prophet. When the book opening had opened, he was looking into the book by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, because he was sent to reveal the Bible in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sing, the mystery of God will be finished. And he was sent to reveal the entire Bible, the whole secret of God, and those seven thunders, to get the bride ready and show how to enter the rapture in faith. That there will be a super church in the last days who will come into oneness, a union with Jesus Christ. And that is what is to be produced. And because we see those things, we labor and strive to see that amongst us. As a local body, as a local church, I know that is a promise. God has his people along the world. He has local churches along the world because the whole age. But the responsibility we have here, since God has shown us the light to walk in the revealed world, then to miss that mark is sin. Because God is coming for a perfect church. In Ephesians, at the end of the journey. I don't know, the sister says here, I hope she may not feel bad as I say this, but God not saying it directly or personally, but it's a bigger point. I had the privilege to speak to sister last night, a visitor, and we were there talking, you know, and she was fine that, you know, in the message, it should not be in the message that people, you know, would maybe think this one right and that one is wrong and this one's right. And so I told her, I said, don't be naive in your thinking. Now is not a time to be spiritually naive and kind of, you know, try to be goody-goody and maybe think, look back in the Bible and see what God taught us. Because if you look back in the Bible and it's trying to show us, look back in the days when Elijah came, which was John the Baptist, and he introduced the Son of Man, which is the full word. And then after the Son of Man, there was message churches. You had a Corinthian church in the message. That wasn't Judaism, which was denominationalism. That was people that was called out of Judaism, a type of denominationalism, to walk in the revealed word. They didn't have scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees preaching to them, which is people after the Levitical priesthood. They had people after the order of Melchizedek ministering to them. Amen. The hidden treasure of wisdom. See, it was a new age when God had a true fivefold ministry that meant a gift was predestined in them. And the Holy Spirit came to place them in the body of Christ to bring that mystery to them. Why got people in the Levitical law holding on to what Moses had in the past dispensation because they didn't realize God had turned a corner? And in the Corinthian church, the message wasn't given its fullness to the people because of their being carnal. Not that God didn't want to give it to them, but the appetite for more just wasn't there. They were satisfied just to hold on to somebody's personality. Just to gather around an individual. See? And just to be in fornication, all kind of foolishness. And Paul says, he says, look. He says, you're carnal. And I want to give you meat, but you can't take it. He said, because you have division and strife and envy and jealousy among you. You even have all kind of filth among you. You can't put it away. You see? And you want to play so spiritual. See, he said, but you're carnal and you're still babies, and all I can do is give you milk. That was a church in the message. Then there are the Galatians who started off, and the Galatians started off the end. You find the Galatian church, Paul says, he says, look, I marvel. He said, I really marvel. After teaching you all, after all the vindication, after the authority of the Holy Spirit manifested so powerfully in your midst. He said, Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth among you. Amen. You who left the law, the old husband, and you come over into grace. He said, I marvel that you should turn aside unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are those that are perverting that original gospel. Amen. He said, who had bewitched you? Oh, foolish Galatians. You stand up in the spirit. You come up to the denomination. And you stop cutting your hair. And the woman sit down in the congregation with a subject. And you begin to drop your desk below your knees. And you men begin to straighten up and walk right. But you end right back up in the flesh. Because the influence, a man who is not spirit-led, but full of all kind of trash in the mind, trying to bring out their own private understanding after the messenger has set it forth right before them. See? Then he says, now don't you be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. After Christ have made you free, because the Son of Man came and set you free. And if after the Son of Man set you free, you want to go back in bondage, then your heirs will be bored. And may God help us tonight to see that people in the message could take the mark of the beast too. People that take the mark of the beast have been in denominationalism. The mark of the beast is to reject the Holy Spirit. And to reject the Holy Spirit is to cross the line. And because the line is to make a way for the devil to come inside of you. And when the devil is controlling you and possess you and take you over, and you have no help from the Holy Spirit to get deliverance because you already reject him, he will take you straight into the mark of the beast when the time comes. Amen. You will love a morsel of meat. And the beast will be able to give it to you. Meat for belly and belly for the meat. With all the knowledge you have. Because the knowledge you have can't make you live right now above sin. How can it make you fast in your cultural churches? Amen. Don't be deceived. Don't deceive yourself. See? Now watch. Then are the Hebrews. Oh, they thought they were so spiritual. They thought they had the revelation. Not the church in the message. They despised the Jews in them back there. Even when the Romans wanted to think there was something, Paul said, he said, you better be careful, don't get puffed, because remember, it's really blinding and Israel all the coming. Yeah. Yeah. Dry all his blinds, God drafting. He said, if the blinds are Israel, bring a deliverance and salvation for you, what more will the restoration of the Jews bring to you? Yeah. See? And he began to speak to them Romans too. Yeah. In the Hebrews, all those years in the message, 19 years after the seven seals had been opened and revealed in its fullness, then Paul says, after so long a time, you should be teachers now. Amen. You're still drinking milk? Amen. He that uses milk is unskillful in the word. Amen. He said, I want to tell you about Melchizedek. I want to tell you about the sanctuary. I want to tell you about the things in heaven. I want to carry you into the golden pot and the hidden manna and the seven candles. He said, I want to teach you these things, but I can't do it right now. Amen. It's because you're holding the baptism and this and that, and you're trying to say, well, keep still the simple message. Amen. You see, and don't go into them deep things, and you get a spirit of shallowness upon you. It's about shake yourself and let's go to perfection. Yes. He said, because when I look for you positionally, where I find in the Bible is back when there's in the Exodus and they come right up to the promise and they fail to cross over. Yes. He says, you better labor to enter the rest if you know what's good for you. Yes. He said, because you remember when God brought them out, how he just turned around and destroyed them back in his wrath? Yes. He said, let us fear less. After Malachi 5, we have a third-fold ministry, 5 manifestations of the spoken word, and God display what a masterpiece is like unto us. Amen. God show us what preeminence is. Yes. God show us what omnipotence is. Yes. God show us what the life of this age would be identified and look like when it's fully manifested. Yes. Amen. And you want to run after this and stop short of that, hold on to your little morality, hold on to your little knowledge you have, and think you're in something? He said, let us fear less that you come short and don't even enter in. Yeah, yeah. So I'm trying to tell her that, I'm trying to show her. I say, get God's thoughts and see what the Bible says for now. Yeah. You'll realize that you even have men like Diotrephes, who wanted to have the preeminence among the brothers. Yeah. He thought he was the big man, the message after the prophet. Yeah. See? And Diotrephes, when John came there, he said, don't even invite him. And then don't even meet with him. Don't even shake the hand. Don't even let him preach in the pulpit. Because he was controlling all them doors. Yeah. And those who saw Diotrephes as somebody, listened and they blocked the Holy Spirit out. Yeah. 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 Hymenus and Philetus, the word is like a gangrene. Yeah. They cause men to earth, make them shipwreck. Yeah. When they're supposed to have the absolute and sailing by the North Star, yeah. Why are we going through treacherous waters? Yeah. Yeah. He said, look what happened to them, they shipwreck. You see? Because they don't know what's happening. And the only consolation, one of the only real consolation, yeah, many of them, but one of the only real consolation Paul had was to see the Ephesians. Hallelujah. They are crossover. Hallelujah. They are crossover. And in Ephesians, the way they deal with sin is in Ephesians 7. Joshua 7, rather. Ephesians in the Old Testament. Amen. Then there's
Stop the camp, search it out, find it, kill it, bury it, make sure it never rise no more. They don't sweep it under the carpet, put it in a back room, play it and see it, try to look over it. No, so! That may be some Corinthians, not Ephesians, brother! And because a lot of people have a Corinthian filter, that will let a little morality pass through the full, with a little knowledge about the resurrection, they could sit down here. Amen. So a lot of people have the old denominational spirit. I want to get a chance, you know, to put out all the works and these things, like if they could be justified by the old natural works contrary to the revealed word. That, you see, they have a filter inside with a taste for that. A denominational hangover. Now what we're talking about, as I told you last night, now we see all that demonology for years in the framework of the message is being uncovered. And we see what anointed not is and how far it expands its borders. Anointed not didn't expand its borders, didn't confine its borders rather to the Pentecostal church, you know. Anointed not expand its borders to every place that the devil has defeated. Every place that those locusts have come and eaten down and put in the darkness. That is where anointed not is. That is for the whole age. Amen. That is not confined to organization. That is individuals. Whether you're religious or you're not religious. Amen. So we are speaking there and I was trying to show, look, get the mind of Christ. That's what we want now. This is an age of insanity. And we must not be free thinkers. We must not just go by impressions and things that come to us. We must base our thoughts on the scriptures. And when we look back in the Bible and we see the hour we're living in, we'll understand why things are the way they are. Then the true believer will be able to strive lawfully in the midst of all the conglomeration of and powers of darkness trying to pull them contrary to the word. They'll be able to have their eye on the promise. They'll be able to have their hold, their absolute, and sell through to see a real manifestation of Jesus Christ without one flaw. And God have people with a real taste, a holy man taste, to see his promise confirmed, to see Christ manifested without one flaw. They want nothing less than what they saw waving the prophet. Amen. See? Because God has sent people to preach it who can't live it. God programmed a mix up. The devil has sent people out to preach who can't live it. Because it has gifts in the body, it has gifts out of the body. Balaam was a prophet in the book of life. See? Judas was an apostle in the book of life. But Peter was an apostle in the Lamb's book of life. But Abraham was a prophet in the Lamb's book of life. In Matthew 24:24, the church spirit upon the church people. Hebrews 13, the bride spirit on the bride people. Amen. And Hebrews 13, it will make Jesus Christ the same today. Walk the same, live the same, act the same, because it is his literal life. And when his life comes in another person, even it's just another channel, it don't change the nature of the life. Amen? But that's the type of all we are living in, where we must have a clear understanding, because deception is coming through the word. And this bride has to prove she's not like Eve, to be seduced. See? Because Eve was seduced, and the Ephesians were seduced. But this last day bride is to prove she's not like them. And God have carefully brought this bride into existence. See, where she has come to her fullness now, these last days, after seven church ages, that mystery of the bride unfolding down slowly, 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 slowly down through the ages. As we were dropping off one or two things there last night, which many of you in the assembly know about. How God has to take the feminine spirit out of Adam and put it in another body. And Eve, in flesh, represented Christ in the mystical body. And Adam in flesh represented Christ in the corporal body. And the mystery of Christ in the mystical body didn't come forth until after Calvary. Because after God put Adam to sleep, showing Calvary, then God began to take the feminine spirit out. Amen. And when God was in the corporal body, in Christ, the second Adam, to prove he was that one, he had to be identified with every part of the world that held the mystery of what Adam was. Because Adam was a prophet. Adam was priest. Adam was king. Adam was eagle, lamb, and lion. Back in the Garden of Eden. Because Adam was the whole mystery of God standing there. When the animals passed, God passed before Adam in the evening time when the sun was setting, in the great altar call that was coming through the prayer line there, and Adam was and said, your name is elephant, your name is lion, your name is fox, your name is zebra, thus saith the Lord. Amen. He was naming every one of them. He looked perfect. The word come to him. When Eve was made, and God presented him, he watched her with eagle eyes. He said, you are a woman. You're bone of my bone. You're flesh of my flesh. God didn't make you out to be youth. Amen. He knew it right away. See, Adam was king of a kingdom. From sea to sea, and from shore to shore, he had dominion over the whole earth. Amen. That's why God had to put out all them prophet types to reveal the mystery of the great prophet. Because it couldn't be revealed in the one person. He had to put out all them king types because he was going to show how he's going to bring back Adam's kingdom. He had to put out all them priest types, like Aaron and all them who intercede for the people, to show the great priest who's going to intercede when he comes. And when Jesus came, he came in three son names. Because each son name was to bring back part of what was lost in the Garden of Eden. Because Adam in flesh was son of man. Eve in flesh was son of God. And that dominion over the earth, which was son of David, the millennium, the Eden, which is the kingdom restored. You see? So all these things here. Then the last is when that bride comes. There will be no confusion. That's why I say a lot of people accept all kind of foolishness. Be influenced by all kind of contrary spirits. And people mix up the word and influence with all kind of lies. And they gobble down that because they are a spiritual prostitute with that kind of spirit. Because they want sensation and they want to bring for children in his image. A prostitute doesn't think about responsibility and sacred responsibility. She's only thinking about the sensation of the act. The enjoyment and the pleasure she could get out of the act. You see? I was showing you those things here. We that's something else by itself. But just trying to show that this bride will push you up like the first two brides because God carefully made his bride. And that's why when Jesus comes, he never identified himself in all them females in the Bible. Though they're putting their Rahab and Esther and Ruth and Rebecca and Sarah all in there, each one holding part of the mystery. Because how they changed the body was in Sarah and the calling was in Rebecca in the evening time and Ruth coming in harvest time and how she received redemption in Boaz's field and Esther received the authority in time of the persecution. Each one of them held part of the mystery that ought to be gathered up in the bride age. Then when that bride comes, she has to be the perfect matching piece. Her character must match that prophecy to prove she's the bride. Nothing else will work. Everything else is out of the picture. Because when Jesus comes, the word, he came at the end of the Old Testament. And he preached a greater than Solomon is here, greater than Judah is here. When she comes, she'll preach a greater than Esther is here, greater than Ruth is here. She would prove that she's the principal team of the New Testament. He's the principal team of the Old Testament. Both male and female. And that Bible is the revelation, the abstract title to this earth. The Eden restored to bring it back and reign as kings and priests upon the earth. Amen. So there is a people. There is a real bride. And she cannot be deceived. And she will try all those who say they are apostles. Because she knows this is the days they only call this an apostle because they want to lie down with her. But she ain't no harlot. She don't have no itchiness. She don't want no pleasure. Her only pleasure is with her Lord. Hallelujah. She don't want no sensation because she understands the age. Amen. When they come, she flashed the wedding band in the face. Stay away, you buzzard! Amen. She pointed him to the marriage certificate. Hallelujah. And God will manifest and glorify that name in the seven thunders. Hallelujah. The token will be on display. And Jesus Christ will be seen again. Amen. See, but you get a lot of people, they want all kind of different things. And it's a serious hour, it's a treacherous time, and people is slipping into darkness, it's over being taken, it's being put in chains, it means they want the judgment, and they can't even realize it, because they're so dead, they're so deep in sleep, and deeply imported upon them, they don't even know what's going on. The only consolation, I am the message, I believe the prophet, I love Jesus. But I'm saying, can't love God. He said, if you love God, there's no shine in it anyhow. That's not the real evidence. No, sir. You can love God, he said, and still be wrong. That's a quote. Amen. Page 8, Christ revealing his own word. Because love is a sense of the Spirit. And if you be anointed in the Spirit, but that soul will say, amen! Will have a holy man taste. That eagle of a seed in the air will only want fresh food. Is it not Voltaire? They will only feed upon the lamb, the fresh kill. The lamb that was slain with 7 horns and 7 eyes. Won't feed upon nothing else. Amen. So my little, give you a little quotation. My little study tonight. So much is happening. This morning I went there. I was so tired after last night and could hardly get up and the little boy there, David, from Sam Skrzok, he's around the room and tried to shake me and beat me in the head and try to wake me up. And I had to fight him off for a couple of hours trying to really rest him. And what I do, got up, my time was almost gone. I said, well, you know, what's going to happen there tonight is so much things before me. God just flashed them, I see them, I have them jot down, but then to spend a little time to study it out and go through the scripture and these things. And I went down there this morning and just the grace of God came down. And the word that is being preached is not what I know and studied before. It comes out, no. I had things, the place I was going, when I go to study, I'm going somewhere else. And I'm reading things in the Bible I never read before and things taken on me and never had before. And it's strange, I just want to just stay yielded in His presence, He could speak it out. And it could be a blessing to you. And my little subject tonight is the two suppers of the great God. St. Luke 14 was a supper, come to the supper. Now this message, in the evening time, a servant. And then there's a supper of the great God in Revelation 19. And those were the people that rejected this first invitation, they will turn around to be the supper of the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field, because they reject His supper. They didn't come to feed at His table, so He will put them on a table to be fed upon. Amen. So, just want to give a little quote here, so it could maybe help somebody. Not really what I'm going to spend my time on, but page 24, he's not every shock, Jeffersonville. He says, God promised rabbits in the days of Luther, He promised other things in the days of others, but now He promised us a full square meal, the full 7-course menu. For all the 7 seals are open and everything is ready. For the word of God, for those who can receive it. Now here is the servant at supper time. He said, God has spread a table. Jesus has a table spread. Where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people come and dine. Amen. With His manna, a 7-course menu, He doth feed. So He said, God have their full square meal. In the days of Luther, He promised rabbits. Other things in the days of others. But now He promises a full square meal, full 7-course menu for all the 7 seals are open. Page 52, Invisible Union. He said, but you are one of the members of His body. Why not? Oh, little eagle, come. The Holy Spirit is calling them out. Come. Come. Why not come to the Lord? I'm thankful. I'm very thankful. Thanksgiving to you, Lord. Because you know, Invisible Union was preached on Thanksgiving Day. In America, and while he's preaching, he said, Lord, this is my Thanksgiving. to see what he was seeing, you see? So he says, not for natural food, yet that, but Lord, the end time, and I'm thankful for the spiritual food, Lord, this spiritual food of the seven seals was promised to be opened. You say that will be something different? No, no, you can't add one word, it's already in there, it's just hid, it's sealed. How many understand that? So I was saying, many people, they may think you're presuming to speak on some of these things, but I just believe in being led by the Holy Spirit. And I think that the prophet, as he was telling us, he gave the messages out, after the seven seals opened, he was opening up different ones, and then in the church's book, he says, what I'm doing, he says, anybody receiving a revelation, is not getting a private revelation or collective revelation, but only receiving what the messenger have already said by revelation. So this is a new thing, because the inspiration for these things is coming back out of the message. It's a message, and the thing the Holy Spirit is saying to the prophet, but then you get to realize that when the prophet is speaking, you read the first time and you think you get it. You read the second time, you think you get it. You read the third time, you think you get it. And as you keep on reading and studying, and the Holy Spirit begin to open to you what he was seeing and what he was saying, then you begin to realize how far he was seeing, because he saw the whole book. That was the eyes that came in this day. So, yeah, when the Holy Spirit came, and after the seven trumpets began to be, God began to shine light upon it, we never even got to finish it, and we really wasn't taking the trumpet by trumpet, but I was trying to show you that there are things in between the trumpets that pertains to the bride. And we found the great river Euphrates inside of the air. And what was the river Euphrates doing in the trumpets? Because that was supposed to be a river back in Babylon. That flowed into the Persian Gulf. It was Euphrates and Tigris, and from that was Gihon and Pishon, where the Bible says these four rivers passed through Eden. And that's why we can find the location of the Garden of Eden today, because those rivers are still there. And the great big war, the hottest battle on the earth right now is going on right there between Iraq, but Iran is really Persia. And they're fighting there for control of the Gulf. Because about 40% of the non-communist world oil passes through the air. That one of the richest oil belt in the world, which is oil of the Holy Spirit. That's where Eden was, and that's where the battle is fought, just on the border of the promise, in the natural realm. And we find out that out of the Euphrates loose 200 million devils, supernatural devils, to come against the bride. But that Euphrates that was back there, Babylon, that Euphrates passed through, it flowed through Babylon, Babylon fell. Babylon is the head of gold. But Rome, which is the legs of iron, is called Mystery Babylon. So, in the legs of iron, there was something compatible to the head of gold. There was something in the head of gold that never fully went out of existence, though the natural city became desolate and became non-existent. But yet the very mysteries of Babylon, where satanic religion had its origin, was in Babylon. See? And then when Babylon is fallen, Attalus the priest king fled to Pergamos. Set up his kingdom there outside the Roman Empire. You find out in the church ages. And then after being a flourish, and by the time Attalus the third came, then he, in the sovereign purpose of God, will the kingdom over to Rome. And the mysteries of Babylon was now in Rome. So then Rome became Mystery Babylon. And that's why Rome in the Bible, in Revelation 17 and 18, the Catholic system, is just the antitype to Mr. Babylon, the city back there that pollute the nations of the world with a satanic religion in the Old Testament. And that's why you find Jeremiah there, 50 and 51, speaks of all the judgments that come upon the great harlot in the last days, because it was shown an antitype back there in the time of Jeremiah. Alright. So, we study a little bit here now. Now watch. So then we find the Euphrates River come out there, and we find that Euphrates River was not a spiritual river in Mystery Babylon. It was papal Rome. Because pagan Rome became bound by the ecclesiastical powers when they professed to be Christians. When they're in the Nicene Council. And pagan Rome became papal Rome. Outwardly, they changed the form. But the same old pagan nature, the same thing inwardly. Because the Caesars just became spiritual kings, which is popes. And that Antichrist spirit that started in the first age, which had known the truth and was close to the truth like the serpent back in the Garden of Eden that deceived Eve. That same spirit became incarnate in a man and became that pope. And from there we had that right down, which we have it today. As the right now being worshipped there in Canada. No, and then around the world too. But right now, that's where the false prophet is. Among the people here. Now watch. But thank God he's here amongst us. Yes. Amen. The real king. So notice, then we find inside of there, there's whoa, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth. And we pick up them whoa, whoa, whoas, and we found under them whoas, the earth was going through its birth pains to be renovated. Because under the Old Testament prophets, the church went through birth pains, produced the second Adam. Under the seven church age messengers, the church went through birth pains, produced the second Eve. And under the three woes, the church went through birth pains and produced the millennium, the new earth for the millennium. The renovated earth. You see? So then we find here how God, all through the hard things that pertain to the church, though the trumpets of itself, the feast of the trumpets, is speaking to Israel. But God put those things in there because when the feast of the trumpets were sounding, the church was still here. The church will not be here when the Feast of the Atonement is taking place. But when the Feast of Trumpets is sung, the church was here. Because Joseph's wife was all there when Joseph's brothers were leaving to come back to meet him, you see. But Joseph's wife was in the palace when Joseph was making himself known. So he had a gathering back time, but he didn't have a time when he was making himself known. When his wife had to be dismissed. And that's why the evening message went out to gather the bride to take off the earth. And before she went off, the Holy Spirit to the prophet who was sent to reveal this Bible began to identify all these spirits when this book of Revelation was open. Because it's a prophet that came to reveal the book of Revelation. Because it's a prophet that showed the book of Revelation to John what those things meant he was seeing. John was seeing visions, but he didn't know what it meant. He was seeing it in symbol form. But the prophet was revealing what the symbol meant. John saw the white horse, but the prophet tells us what it is. John saw the red horse, he didn't know what it is, but the prophet tells us what it is. John saw the great harlot and he wondered, but the prophet tells him what it was. John saw the lamb white, but the prophet tells him what it was. John saw the city, but the prophet measured the city. Amen. And whenever he talked about that prophet, that angel, he said that one of the seven angels with the seven vials. He didn't say one of the seven church age angels. He said one of the seven angels who had the seven vials. Well, show me this thing. I bowed down to worship that angel. So what I'm saying is, here we're going to find those things, all those things, how that angel come down the air to open up the seven seal book, Michael, to deliver the names that is found written inside it before he go over to the Jews. To deliver the Jewish names in the book. But he's delivering the Gentile names now. And that's why people, you know, you preach the word to show them what God is doing now. What is going on in God's economy. What's happening in the spiritual realm. Then they shall have a discernment to recognize if we are in part of God's economy, then what the Holy Spirit influence would be being projected to achieve through the ministry and through the bride around the world would be exactly what is written in the Bible. Because God can't show it in the Bible and then do something else. Unless there is some other people who just start a light for something else. But if they were sent to reveal the manifest part of the Bible for this time, then what they're doing would be identified back in the scriptures. Because they raised up the fulfilled part of the word. They cannot do nothing else. Amen. So after the Holy Spirit began to reveal those things in there, In those seven trumpets, we took all those woes, the locusts, what it was, the Roman spirit, the same locusts that eat down the tree in Joel, the fig tree. We find, was it the bride tree back there? In type, the fig tree is also Israel and also, the bride, in type. And the prophet preached resurrection, the bride tree, and showed the locusts, cancun, palm, caterpillars, one insect but four stages. And that was a Roman spirit. And those same locusts was now coming out now and killing the Jews, which was Rome, influence and activity in the political realm. Because it seals is the church, that's religious disturbance. But trumpets is politics, that's political disturbance. See? So, it's the same devil and God all the time. Because the white horse rider was the antichrist spirit, that was the devil coming there to deceive. Then when they jump over in the realm of the trumpets, now the same fallen star, the king of that army was Lucifer, was the devil again. Because this Satan Eden is being built up through three realms. Religion, demons, and politics. He's achieving his Eden. He's bringing in the past. His five I wills he had in his heart up in heaven. Satan had five things in his heart he wanted to achieve. And here, the serpent seed, his children, is producing those things. Children of darkness. God had a threefold secret in the back part of his mind. And his children, his seed, his genes, is bringing the past, his threefold secret, upon the face of it also. Children of light and children of darkness. You see, children of the kingdom and children of the world here. And it's just two spirits all the way coming down. So, when the scene, when the trumpets and bars, it's just the scene changing. It's just different realms, different positions he is looking at. You see? When you look at the church, we talk about the seals and the ages. When you look at the political realm, you talk about the trumpets and these things. When you talk about the judgments and the corner of the Jews back there, we look at the last half of the 17th week. When you talk about the destruction, the harlot and the armies and the beasts and the kings and the other things, we talk about the battle of Armageddon and we talk about the violence and these things. No, it's simple once you get it from your mind and you break it to God's mind. You see, everything like is coded. God said Feast of Pentecost. Now you know that. That is the church. So when God said Feast of Pentecost and church age, they don't confuse you. Because you know that space of time he's talking about from Calvary to this time before the Jews recognize Christ. Wait about Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold with the toes of iron and clay. You talk about the time of the Gentiles. That will confuse you. It's all them Gentile kingdoms that have rulership over Israel. You see? So the same way here, when it comes to Revelation, it's just written that way because it's prophetic and it's only for a certain class of people. It's God revealing these things to his bride. So when the prophet came and began to reveal those things, they began to complain with them being the understand what's really happening. Then from there, before we can even finish out on those trumpets here, it will pick up into the vials because it has to pick up the air. Because you see, many of the things that start in the trumpets, where church and state coming together. Because after World War II, before World War III comes, church and state will be united. Because the people wanted peace. That way we can say, when peace, sudden destruction. Because after they see two world wars, they didn't want no more war again. So everything being about love and give peace a chance and all the world want peace and with a whole kind of love gospel and love revolution and peace and disarmament being preached and everything. And right in the air, Satan slip in and begin to bring a love gospel too. And say that we should all be one as Jesus prayed we should be one. And if you will stand against communism, these ungodly people who don't believe in God, they're going to come and destroy the earth. Let us unite to stand against it. And that is where the Protestants are being deceived by the Catholics, because, you see, they don't think they're being deceived. They think they're giving support for a just cause to stamp out communism. That's what they think they're doing. That's why they're not becoming Catholics. They're only giving the support. That's why they keep the doctrine, you see, but they only agree on certain things. But where they're going to get trapped is when America declares bankruptcy. And when the money system changed, they're going to realize what's happening. Because economically, the whole thing is being tied up because Rome has the wealth of the world. And she's getting the only other people who have money now, which is the Jews, she's getting their money tied up too. It's already in process. But the church will not see it. The church leaves before that. So if we see the footsteps of it coming in with rapidity, then how we should check ourselves? Then there must be a power moving among the church. There must be a revolution coming forth to get our people ready. You must see that sacredness and that sincerity coming to people. You must see our people in reverence and action and with humility, prepared servants for this hour. Who have met the seraphim, who have been in the temple and prayed and God shake them off of man's flesh. And they break into the realm and see the seraphim and be prepared for this hour. Outside of that, when you come to the church and never see the seraphim, you can't get prepared. You don't know how to be prepared in the presence of God. You don't know that there's a part of the message that says, who will go for us? There have to be a people step forward and say, here we are, Lord, send us. Because Revelation 10:8-11 says, thou must prophesy again among many kindred, people, tongue, and nations. A quick, short message will shake the nation. The third pool will go to the lost. it will do great things to you in your midst. These are all when people should try to realize the presence and the power of God is here to bring deliverance. Those sitting down there wonder if you can be delivered. Seek it, press through, bulldoze your way through, you shall receive it. God is here, that's why He said it. Amen. To bring it to pass. Amen. And that was last night, they're breaking the device. Before we can really strike where it really is there, chronologically in the book. You see, that chronological in the book is right there in Revelation 15 and 16. But I'm not stepping into it yet, because when we get there, I want you to have an understanding and get a picture of the scene. So last night and the night before, we've been breaking into the type there. I'm under the fourth seal. Under the fourth seal, God shows something in symbol form. And in Revelation chapter 19, God shows something there also. And what God showed in the fourth seal, He was showing where all the powers gathered together and symbolized in a pale horse, which is religion, politics, and demon powers. See? And then He showed that the name was death, and death was separation from the presence of God. And we find that one coming on that horse, there's another one coming on another horse, whose name is called the Word of God, and that is life. So life and death was coming to the final struggle. Heaven and hell was coming to the final struggle. You see, Lucifer and Michael was meeting in the battlegrounds again. Those two kingdoms. And if you pick up there under the trumpet, Jesus telling the parable, when one king go to war with another king, he better count the cost first. Because one king go to war with 10,000 and the other king come with 20,000. He says, what's going to happen? And that is two kings. In the Greek, he's called Apollyon and Abaddon in the Hebrew, because he's a king over 200 million devils. That is Lucifer. He pulled one third part of his stars down from heaven. Alright? Now 10 and 20. 30. One king have 10,000, the other king have 20,000. 30,000. And 10,000 is one third, and 20,000 is two thirds. And the two kings is Michael and Lucifer coming to battle again. See? And this is where it comes to a great showdown. Jesus in a parable of that battle back there. And here is all being made manifest. Because all this charismatic and Pentecostal revival, glossolalia, all these things, and move out there, speaking in tongues and blood in their hand, all in the platform, and all these religious men going over into politics. We are picking that up. I didn't strike the scripture because I didn't want to touch it yet, because the whole thing inside of there I was trying to leave back. But I've been mentioning it night after night, which is when them false prophets came out in the mouth, them lying spirits came out in the mouth of air prophets. Here was the prophet, the religious people. Here was the kings. See? The head of the states. And here was the priests. Was religion, politics, and demon power. You see? Zedekiah and the 400 prophets. Religion. The lying spirit. Demon powers. And then the two kings, the head of state. And it's through that deception, they went out to the battle. And in the battle, they get slaughtered. And they fall to the earth set upon them. That's why over in the book of Revelation, it's saying here, look how they are working miracles. And because they can't make two big horns, and begin to kind of, maybe well dance, and all kinds of different things, and jump around, and say, you're going to push them out this way, and push them out there, and push them out there. And we're pushing here, we're pushing there, we're pushing everywhere. You see? And Micah, so I'm going to watch him, and I'm just waiting for a chance to say something. Amen. So when you see that kind of thing there, he said they're deceiving the people there, and then all the politicians now, out of the will of God already, and then they're not looking at Elijah prophecy, but there are people in the land watching Elijah prophecy. Because no doubt Micaiah must be one of them 7,000. Hallelujah! Under that seal. So when he rise up now, he shall only say what God showed me, and he spoke what Elijah said. He got his jaw slapping feet, but he didn't mind. He spoke the truth anyway. Hallelujah! He wasn't ashamed of his testimony. He wasn't ashamed of his revelation. If he had to stand alone, he was going to say it. Amen. And then afterwards, the military realm of it now, which is the armies. You see, those things, they just flash there in the scripture in a shadow. And when it's picked up in the book of Revelation, in a symbol, it appears mysterious, and you don't know where to place it. You say, I wonder when them kings are going to deceive people with the Armageddon. That's why the prophet's standing here to say, it's going on now. Because here, they're prophesying lies. Here, them three unclean spirits out of their mouth, the Trinity doctrine, coming against the truth, religion, demon, and politics. Because in the last age, he was the beast, the eagle, flying out of the face, the challenge against that pale horse that was standing there. You see? So he was watching it and prophesying. Then here we were. We were under that seal. When he thought he was alone, all man forsook him. God said, no, no, no. I have a few of them remain back there. I'll show them. They'll come along the world marching onward, Christian soldiers. Hallelujah. They wouldn't dance in a rock and roll. They wouldn't be naked. They'll be coming dressed in the national dress from around the world marching onward, Christian soldiers. Hallelujah. They'll be singing, I'm going up in the first resurrection. Hallelujah. They'll be God's eagles. Hallelujah. Where the carcass is, there will God's eagles be gathered together. He will get them out of the barnyard in time. No rooster going to carry them down to the market to be slain and become eagle meat. No, sir. This creature will come across. They will hear it and they'll fly to the barnyard post. Then he will come back along the second time with a revelation of the unveiling of the masterpiece to show the bride is here. The final call, the final ride. Amen. Something is happening. Amen. So notice when he came out there now, after he came out there, and God began to reveal those things. Then last night and the night before, I was going back there because you don't want to hit the chronological part of it. Because I think it's the grace of God giving those two messages there. Because when you get there, just take scriptures, we'll just end up reading whole night. And I have a lot of scriptures here to read tonight too. That's a show because it's a revealing of something. See, God just giving it. Now watch. So, last night there, we were proven from the scriptures, back in the type, and in those things back there, in the days of Elijah, when Ahab, which represented the state, and Jezebel, the church, was in a union. See? And then she was the one really behind the whole thing. He was only a figurehead. And we found the union was for political reasons. And we found in that time Elijah had a prophecy. Because God saw what Jezebel was up to. And God knew she was done drunk and filled with the blood of his prophets and saints. He wasn't going to tolerate it no more. And we pick up that scripture there in 2 Kings 9 where he said, I avenge my prophets and them for the blood that she shed. And we find it as a symbol of the Catholic Church filled with the blood of the saints and martyrs of Jesus Christ. So over there now when he was picking up that, then we are separated now that Jezebel was the one who died last. Ahab, judgment came, but not while Elijah was there. Because Ahab kind of humbled himself a little bit. After Elijah came and spoke to him, he kind of humbled himself, you know, the word of the Lord. He was in the wrong, but not for long. And just like many of them churches in America. Oh, they had them coast to coast, all over the country. For a little while, it seemed like God could do something. But then the holding swung into Babylon. You see? So what's something? So here it was, when the time came, after Elijah went off the scene, then we find that God now was going to bring to pass the prophecy of Elijah upon Ahab, a type of America also. Because we just become the symbol to make it present tense to see how that happened. And then we find there that what happened, Ahab went out there and get deceived by the false prophets. to go into the battle. And that is out of America, the Pentecostal revival is when the shut spirits in Matthew 24:24 come up with all them false prophets in the last days to receive all those whose names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life will hear the true prophet. Amen. But those whose names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will hear the false prophets and get deceived. That way is a really big test here. Because while people are being seduced, left, right, all around being seduced, then you now, as part of the bride of Jesus Christ, you have to walk so circumspectly, worthy of the vocation unto which you call. You have to walk so sincerely. You have to be watching everything so alert, so watchful, so vigilant. Because you know the devil is loose to come against you. See? And then with all, as the prophet says, even infancy back in the Garden of Eden in seed form, Satan's power deception is so powerful. What about in their maturity after 6,000 years? So then you have to face the fullness of it. And it's going to come through preaching. Through false anointed ones. False teachers of the true message. It's not playing a long time. I wonder how people can sit down there and get confused and tied up. It's just a little read and pray and study and they love sin. See? Because anything that exalts itself above the word of God and being worshipped is the devil. And man's knowledge, read the God of this evil age, is being exalted above the word of God, and the word of God came to a prophet. Thus said the Lord. And we're not supposed to be getting no private and collective revelations. Because every true revelation will fit back into the revelation and bring this revelation to light. Amen. So watch. So here, we see then, last night, I hope you're glad that we are separating and proving that the destruction of the Catholic Church was after the ministry of Moses and Elijah. And in the last day, the 4,000 were shown in a type in the time of Elijah back in the Book of Kings. Though that speak about the Gentiles in the spiritual form is also speaking about the 4,000. And we took that in Romans 11 last night, and I was using that scripture there. If you didn't get it, you'll get it now. I was using that scripture there to show you during that time in the type, Elijah shut them for 3.5 years. He burned up some of the military troops. God, he slayed the false prophets. He called for a showdown. He was vindicated with signs and wonders. You see, and then Ahab said, who are you, the one who troubling the land? Because there are plagues all over, famine and mourning and death. God is raining upon the place in the day of his prophecy. And Jezebel, all during that time, was doing what? Trying to kill him. And we found out Elijah went on the scene, Jezebel was still alive. So I'm showing you that the Catholic Church don't get destroyed in the last half of the 70th week. No, sir. See? And we pick up the type back and forth and showing you how Brother Abraham also went to the same type. And I told you two prophets, one is Paul, one is Brother Abraham, the first and the last, who had the full word there, was teaching those things, and went to the sixth seal, page 42 with the prophet, showing that it's also a type of the Elijah that come to the Jews. See? First Kings. When them 7,000 didn't bow down the knees, that was the type of the 140,000 who will not be caught up in that system when the Jews and Rome come together in that union. It will be another marriage again with Jezebel, because they make a covenant, the Bible said. Rome and the Jews make a covenant for money, political reasons. So here will be the Gentile again, a pagan, coming in, but not through the spiritual channels God ordained for Gentile admission into Israel. But it will be coming for political reasons, for the security of Israel, because Israel will have some people as in the government who will not be influenced by the Bible. So they think according to modern thinking, and Satan, Superman, will deceive them. And we find out that Moses and Elijah going to plague the land and bring in the 104,000. Where all the plagues only succeed in bringing 104,000 out. Because during that time, the beast kills the 104,000. He kills the foolish virgins. And he killed Moses and Elijah too. So they beat their chest and say, who can make war with me? Because he called on fire from heaven too. Is that correct? So then the Bible says, who can make war with the beast? Michael himself. Come to judge and make war. Amen. With the armies riding out of heaven. He can make war with the beast. The beast will get more war than he could take. Hallelujah. Amen. But who is he coming back with? His bride. Seven angels. Michael, the bright and morning star, and seven stars in his right hand. Alright? It's Star Wars all over. Because Lucifer was Sunday morning. And he pulled a third of the stars. But Michael had two thirds of the stars. And he had a big war in heaven. With Star Wars. That's where they get from. They just perverted. See? But here when he comes in that ride now. What's actually happening? We find that to find what was happening there and where it's fitting to correctly divide it. We went back to the type where it had been fed to the fowls of the air. And we find the prophecy that Jezebel was setting the dogs and the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air, Ahab the same way. And God said, I'll do the same thing I do to Jeroboam, son, Jeroboam, and the same thing I did to Baasha. And I don't know if in reading the Bible, as I told you to read, you check back there and you one of your reference and find Baasha and the next one. Amen. Let's take some scriptures on. I'm just feeling good tonight. Feel like God is on the scene. 1 Kings 21. Begin to study quickly now. Okay, quickly. Some who didn't get last night or who wasn't here, we can pick back up quickly as we run through this, you know. Now here it is, 1 Kings 21, verse 17. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, Tishbite, Sinai, rise and go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who is in Samaria. No, America is a type of Israel also. Is that correct? No. All right, Ahab was like how they drive out the natives of the land, and they had a Washington and Lincoln and all these people there. Then they had Ahab on the throne, which is Kennedy back there. And the Catholic Church began to rise. Jezebel came in type to Israel. And that is spiritual form. But that's going to happen also in the last 2.5 years in Israel again. So he said, arise and go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he's going to possess it. And we know what happened there, how he wanted it and he coveted it. And then Jezebel made a plot to get it for him. And then God knew all about what that harlot was thinking in her heart, all what she was up to. And he was going to send judgment in a prophecy. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus said the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus said the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. That judgment on Ahab. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab every male, and him who is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation which thou hast provoked with your anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spoke the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field, the fowls of the air shall eat. That is supper of the great God. When that system is being fed on God's supper table. Alright? Now let's turn to 1 Kings 14. While Elijah was prophesying to him, Elijah was referring back to the judgment upon two people. May God help me. Let's read from verse 1. I think we can get it quickly. At the time
Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, felt sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, arise, I pray thee, disguise thyself, and thou shalt not be known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah the prophet, who told me that I should be king over his people. That's how Jeroboam became king. I had a prophet in the land told him. And take these 10 loaves and cakes and a cruse of honey and go to him. He will tell you what shall become of the child. And Jeroboam's wife did so and arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were dim by reason of his age. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shall thou say unto her, for it shall be when she cometh in, that she shall pretend to be another woman. Is that God to show a thing beforehand? When people think they come to create an impression and deceive you and trying to pretend something, God already show you to come in and he already show you what they're up to? Though she disguised and everything, he says, and it was so when Ahijah heard the song of her feet, as she came in at the door, that he said, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why pretendest thou to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. For as much as I exhorted thee among the people and made thee prince of my people Israel, and tore the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it to thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which is right in mine eyes. May you have that kind of heart. But hast done evil above all who were before thee, for thou hast gone and made other gods and melted images. You see why judgment is coming now? To provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam every male, and him who is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away refuse, till it be all gone. Him that died of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that died in the field shall the fowls of the air eat, for the Lord had spoken it. Now hear what we get now. Now you notice the past couple of nights we've been dealing with the subject of the demon spirits that invade and devour those who reject the blood of Jesus Christ. I told you there's a spiritual form going on, and what we're trying to do in these messages is catch the spiritual path of the happenings in the spiritual realm before we move on further and open the vials itself. Because the real point out is way down, is down the road, not way down the road, just down the road. But here, things is going on in the spiritual form already. Because there's plagues here already. Darkness and spiritual death, all these things is here already. Once it's not under the token. Insanity is here already. Now watch. But what we're speaking of is those demon spirits that come upon the thing that is dead when the life leaves it. When the life leaves, fallen angels get dead. The day they take man for the leader, that's the day they die. The day they fail to move with God, when God is moving on, that day they die. The day they worship anything exalted above the word of God, that day they die. Now what are we uncovering from the realm of the message? The prophet had identified this in the book of Revelation way back there. And we're showing you the results of many things is because they have been overtaken. Many people, this year maybe a person going to a trial, and as I told you, people always have this kind of denominational fiction in their mind. Well, everything for them is a Job. And no thunder rolling, no lightning flashing, no inspiration to come out of the airship and prophesy. But everything they're going through is Job. No restoration 7 times afterwards. So how you can take Job and apply it? But it's denominational theology. What you're going to try is Job. But that was speaking about a certain season in Job's life. All those things was tied for showing certain things in the life of Christ. Now what? Something here. So we find out then that today people think, well, they don't have the right diagnosis. And they wonder, why is there a supernatural working? Bible says if a man and his wife is not going good, the prayers will be hindered. Alright? Then why is many people's prayers being hindered? I'm not talking about husband and wife naturally, I'm talking about the church and Christ now. Because that is only a great mystery concerning Christ in the church. Why is there the supernatural? Why is there not some truckload of wheelchairs like you had back there? I mean, we don't want some truckloads today, but then why we can't get one wheelchair? They're praying, 50 times lengthier than the prayers prayed there. Because the harmony that existed between the prophet and God was like the Father and the Son. And God preeminences. And that same harmony is to exist between the bride and the groom. So people wonder. So they call for prayer meetings. They call for this. But the people are not walking over the word. People are slept around. People is listening to Titan spirits. People are being seduced for pleasure. They love pleasure more than God. Which is the word. People are rebellious towards the word. They don't want to be subjection to the head who have rule over them. But yet it's about invisible union, yet they're wearing band. Yet they're married to the kid. Yet they see the name in the Bible. Amen. Peter said the prayer's been hindered. Where was I? Amen. Okay, 1 Kings 16. Quickly. So you see what happened? Jeroboam and then began the going from the word. And the same prophet who had him there brought judgment. 1 Kings 16. Look around the Baasha now. That Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, now Baasha, God in Elijah told Ahab what happened to Baasha and this one will happen there. Now, when did Elijah die? Not Elijah, rather Ahab. At evening time. When did America be destroyed? Evening time. Alright. The fowls of the air. Spiritual death has already hit that land already. It passed redemption. Did he say it? 1965 is gone. Beyond redemption. Next thing is the bomb to bring the physical destruction, but spiritual is gone. Never rise no more. Because the greatest light ever shone came to a prophet, the greatest vindication was right in that land. The message was hooked up from Canada to Mexico, from New York to California, right along the entire nation. And yet they reject it. Ahab. Jezebel came later on. Then the word came to Jehu, son of Hanani, against Baasha, saying, "For as much as I exalted thee out of the dust and made thee prince of my people, Israel, and thou hast walked in the way of Jeroboam and made my people Israel to sin to provoke me to anger with their sins. Behold, I will take away the posterity of Baasha and the posterity of his house. I will make thy house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Him that died of Baasha in the city shall the dogs eat, and shall him that died of his in the field shall the fowls of the air eat." Now what I'm trying to show is, we'll pick it up at the end of the message. In Deuteronomy, that was a law of God in the beginning. You go against God's word, he'll feed you to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. And in Revelation, when it ends up, God still remembers his word. God stoned them back there for adultery in the beginning. God end up rain, hail, stoned them and killed them also. You see what's happening? But you see, but let me show you something. But in the spiritual form of it, where it's happening, those demon powers, and you'll find just now too, how Abraham seen in the evening time the sun going down, and the darkness come, and go into the deep sleep showing death, and then hell follow death, just like in the fourth seal, and a smoking furnace, which is the judgment cloud coming. Amen. How he's waiting for the confirmation of the covenant. He was waiting for the light to come and pass to the pieces. And while he was waiting for the confirmation, he was busy fighting them devils off. Shooing them off. When the sun was going down. But I want to pick it up here to the scripture and show you something. This fowls that eat them there in the end of the Bible, it's not that thing that happened there like that. This is God's judgment all to the Bible for leaving the world. For rejecting the blood to make a way for the devil to come in. and then demon spirits, fallen angels take them over. Then diagnose the symptoms correctly now. Then find out, is it a trial, somebody going through a death, a stroke? Ministers scrambling for a message in the pulpit. I had a dream recently, you know, I aim for dreams. Dream is like, what happened in Barbados here? You see it? No prophet in the land. God showed that way. It interpreted the same way. Rise, take the child, go into Egypt, flee, and these type of things, when God speak direct. Okay? Now, this one is not so much, but just hear what I'm saying. Because I'm not saying this as any fulfillment of nothing. But just telling you something here. A little experience that happened. This dream I had a couple nights ago, I was telling the brother before we went to Antigua, and that's when it dawned upon me. I wasn't thinking about it at all. I said, I won't tell nobody because I didn't even know what it meant, and I myself again, it's like confusion in my mind. It's maybe the multitude of thoughts. You see? But it had this great big, kind of alien spacecraft. I was trying to, it turned like a ball of fire, and it was like an invasion. And I was running, trying to pick up my little boy David and Timothy, remember in the dream, trying to pick up and run to safety. And it had a great invasion. And all of a sudden, the whole place was conquered. And you know, like when people have a coup. Next thing you hear over the radio, this nation is now under a new government. So and so have been deposed from the authority. And so is in command now. And the Air Force is taking. And the Navy is in command. And you hear this kind of thing. And then the people now being alarmed. So something like that going on. And I happened to be able to, you know, slip out it. I was trying to make my way out. And while I was going there, I did not counter-attack. I was already in the move already. But here come some strange people, and I didn't know who they were, and didn't know who I was, and they thought I was one of the enemy. So, right away, I realized the thing he was thinking that, so I said, wait, now I know these fellas here, you know. So, it came to a place now where it had the big counter, like, I tell that for a purpose, see? It had like a big counter there, and then that counter was all the kind of officials who was in charge of this takeover. And while in Sam there, the counter talking, these men who like spies now, you know, these new people who in the counter attack, they just stand up there and so calm. All of a sudden, one had a knife or something by the throat of one of the men there. And before they know what happened, you only see behind those men came in these other men. Behind the positions where they were in authority, came in, you know, in those positions. And so smoothly, the thing was taken over. I forgot, I didn't know what me, I said, okay, I'm gonna be, someone old can see in the cinema, in his subconscious mind, or pictures, but cinema's trying to find and bring it back out to torment in the mind. You know. So, we are there talking, you know, just like normal, a couple of the brothers and myself by the airport, you know, and we talk about this last hour and what's happening. And I just had to tell them like this, I say, you notice in recent times, how like ministers in the message, like there's an invasion of demon power, and, you know, it just like, this one gets strike, bam! And that throw the church in darkness, bam! This one get taken over, this one get taken over. Who ain't get wild and radical? Who just backslide? Who church gone to confusion? Who gone off into politics? Who gone off here? And so what's happening? I think in the last couple of years, the amount of people get caught up in all kind of confusion, following all kind of different spirits just taking over. And like the people under delusion, they know what's going on. Like an invasion against ministers in the message, and Satan was in control of pulpits. You know, you see? And so while he's talking about it, just I stopped in the middle of what I was saying. And I wondered that what was happening there was something in a natural battle and invasion, but it was like a spiritual thing that was happening. Because I wasn't thinking about it, just speaking, you know. And this is what I'm trying to show in the world here. Fallen angels get into it, the prophet says. And they begin to be seduced somewhere from the pulpit. And they've been held in fruitless pastures. And they become a powerless bunch of people whose only weapon is argument. See what we're talking about? So, I read Babesha already? Oh yeah. Okay, so notice that. That was God's way of judgment. And when they reject the word, fall to the air and the beast of the field was to move in and take over. And we find when we hit Revelation, is the very thing was happening in every church age. until it comes down to a physical destruction in the battle of Armageddon, where the flesh alone will be destroyed, the bodies will not be destroyed too. But the church body, spiritual, the spiritual form, the church body, the body of people spiritually, that reject the message, made a way for Satan to become incarnate in them. Amen. Let's pick up 2 Kings quick. Just to pick up Jezebel part for some who wasn't here. We have a little time still. Second Kings 9. And in 2 Kings 9, you notice last night we read out the whole scripture. We'll just take the verses where the judgment was. We read where what was happening there was Elisha, this is in days after Elijah's ministry had finished. Elisha now told one of the prophets there, go and take a flask of oil, go and anoint Jehu, and that he may avenge, verse 7, and thou shalt smite the house of Ahab, thy master, and that I may avenge the blood of my servant, the prophet, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. And that was the shadow there again of the Catholic Church system there, that is drunk with the blood of the martyrs and saints of Jesus and the prophets, and all that are still on the earth, which we'll pick up later on, and show how she gets double judgment. And then you'll understand the vials and the plagues back there. Double judgment. Double reward. And verse 10 says, and the dogs shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezebel, and there shall be none to bury her. And we find also that the portion of Jezreel, that very place there, last night I was picking it up there for you, that Megiddo, where the battle is being fought, the battle of Armageddon, is located on the north side of the plains of Jezreel. And it was in Jezreel that Elijah prophecy of the destruction of Jezebel being eaten by the beast and the fowls of the air was actually fulfilled. So look how God, so direct, and we were picking up there last night, that in the shadow, how a destruction will come, how she'll come to the end, how the dogs will eat her, and then the time it will happen will be after the days of Elijah prophecy, not during the tribulation period, after that time she'll get destroyed. But the battle of Armageddon is after the tribulation, because if Rome kills the 104,000, kills the foolish version and kill Moses and Elijah. And then they send gifts around making merry that there's victorious over them. See? And then we found also the place, which is the portion of Jezreel. So all those things right there, God was showing right back in the shadow. So over in Revelation, when he's given the symbol of the prophecy, here was the spiritual Jezebel now, the system itself. Here was in the days after the prophecy Elijah went forth. Who Elijah directly prophesied? America, Ahab, Jezebel. See? And when spiritually the next Elijah comes, he's directed to Israel and Jezebel too. Because when Moses and Elijah come, they'll go right back to the Bible. That is very Old Testament. Now show the two olive trees in Zechariah that stand there. It's the same two witnesses in the two olive trees in Revelation 11. So it is in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, you see. Verse 36. And this is where it came to pass. Jehu, after he tells him, go and bury, see, you know, and bury this cursed woman. And verse 36, wherefore they came again and they told him, this is the word of the Lord which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall the dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the carcass of Jezebel shall be as refuse, as dung upon the face of the field, and the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel. Amen? Okay. One moment here. I want to make sure I hit the right places, because right now, like, what actually happened, we're taking the second supper first before we get the first supper. Amen. Yeah, I thought I had that book with me. My. You mean they want to hide the book right in the Bible? This is the fourth seal, page 40 and 50. Let me give it quickly. So you understand what I'm saying. Now what we're catching here is the spiritual part of it, eh? But we just showing it will have a natural part too. But I'm trying to show you whenever they read the word, though God's judgment is always to feed them to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. It's always God's judgment. And those people that have rejected the word in this hour, they are also being fed right now. And that's why churches are becoming in that desolate condition. And there's famine hitting them, hunger hitting them, starvation, death, all kind of wild spirits coming upon them. Is they being given over the demon power? Because they rejected the blood of Jesus Christ. Because remember the last plague before the Exodus is spiritual death. And that is what? Separation from the presence of Almighty God. That is why the revelations can't come to them. That is why there can be no revival to them. That is why it's just confusion to them. That is why they have to be controlled by political spirits that bind them and organize them and manhandle them and put fear in them to control them. Police them! Because they're out of the presence of God. But how is it being done? We'll find it just now. It's being done by people handling the word of God deceitfully. Romans 1:18 says, and the wrath of God being revealed in heaven to who? Those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God is supreme judge, the cloud being turned, showing that judgment is about to be poured on the earth from heaven. Eyes like a flame of fire, a sharp sword on his mouth. You see what's happening? I wonder if this is ushering in the preaching to the lost and all these things. I wonder if all these things being revealed here, it's to ushering these things. After the mask is unveiled, it comes to ushering that, usher these things in. The show is finished. Hear what I'm saying, ushering. I told you, this church going to experience here. It's not nice, it's to come and sit down and walk back in, walk back out, throw back in, throw back out. Later than you think. When you see the Holy Spirit come like this, and we get set in a meeting like this, and the same books we read, the same Bible we read, and the Holy Spirit could just come and shine light and open up and make it so plain for us to see and to walk in, it should be a scary time. Especially the things that God is opening up. You see which part you open up first? The part that pull you out and save you. Show you who you are in the world. Show you what's happening after the prophet among the bride. Show you the leadership of eternal life. You see the part that's coming on now? You work it out and see what answer you get in your mind. You sit down here for years long enough. Page 44, the fourth seal. Now quickly here. Okay, let me, I want to chop off some of this because not 44, one is 48. But I can't take all that time. You read when they go home, the fourth seal. Now, here is now in closing, he said. Now, those who don't believe that the last messenger to the last church is Elijah. Here the prophet brings out in the seal. He's trying to show them when them three horses gather together, religion, politics, and demon powers, in the pale horse, Elijah will be in the land. When Jezebel is controlling church and state again, Elijah will be in the land. When Ahab and Jezebel come in a union for political reasons, Elijah will be in the land. Whether it's Jews or Gentiles, Elijah will be in the land. Amen! Whether it's Jews or Gentiles, Elijah will be in the land. So watch. After the death of this last church age, death hit them first, you know. Spiritual death. Now notice what happens? After death, their dead bodies are destroyed by wild beasts. You know that. That's true. Like this is the type of Jezebel. You receiving these things? The more we go into these things, the more I'm seeing. We look at things, and people swing a Bible, it's easy to do it. Walk in a building and walk back out, thinking that that's been the message. Sit down, they're being influenced by demon powers. A devil coming subtly, and eat off the leaves, eat off the fruit, eat off the bark, throw them back out in the world. Devil bringing all kind of entertainment spirits behind the pulpit to entertain the people with jokes and all kind of, you know, give them little sensations and different things. Make it a whole kind of a concert type atmosphere. Make it a big play. See, all kind of political spirits infiltrate the message. Demons from the Euphrates River get upon people. And people never knew about infiltration. But the prophet said Satan will bring them in. Christ the mystery of God revealed. Have them to sit down and fellowship in the quietness of the spirit. Shoot them out with poison acid and sweep it through the church. Did he say it? And that will happen in the message. A lot of people who are around the prophet, like Gehazi, like all the people back there, they sat around the prophet, that great anointing. And Burma had the spirit of Elijah, Moses, and Christ upon him. Like Moses, he came there, called an exodus. Like Christ, the Son of Man, bringing the bride, like Elijah, rebuking Jezebel, restoring back the word. You find that in a Revelation of Jesus Christ, where he says, the woman prophesied the spirit of Elijah, Moses, and Christ. Them three anointed to be upon him. All wrapped up in that ministry in the last days. And here he was. And all those men were around him there. And no doubt Gehazi became trusted to the prophet. And the prophet there, Gehazi saw maybe 20 handful of meal that day among all those ministers when they had, they were all confused. And the 20 handful of meal healed the pot when he had dead in it. And when Naaman, the big general, come down, he showed him about dip 7 times in the Jordan. And when the Shunammite son was raised from the dead, Gehazi saw it because he even had the staff going down first before. Amen. And while Elijah was sitting there under the oak tree, when the sun set and the cool wind blowing, and began to testify and reveal to him all his secret revelations that was coming to him, and the visions and the will of God and what's going to happen in Syria and what's going to happen here and all the different things. No doubt, without anointing, Gehazi maybe he's a walk around like if he's in something. Maybe when he go out there, you know, and then maybe he'll testify to people and talk about the prophet, and he was near to the prophet, and he was next to the prophet, and he was right there, and the prophet raised the dead Shunammite boy, and he himself was growing his staff, and if he had only got a chance, and no doubt, see, no doubt all the people back there among the prophets, and then that same Gehazi, that soul, never getting the presence. All that had a loss of money and popularity and all kind of dung inside that soul. And a lot of men went out there without anointing from around the prophet, tried to make themselves teachers, tried to be somebody, tried to talk all the experiences that they see and all that they know and these things. And then you watch some of them lives, they're so rotten. You watch some of them so far off the world. You watch some of them so stagnated and dead. You see? Not everybody, but many like that. See, and then the people who are so gullible, who thought that those kind of testimonies were the testimony of Jesus. Who thought that was the real eyewitnesses of what is taking place in this hour. See? Recognize what's happening, what is happening. So watch, after the death of the last churches, notice what happens? After the death, their bodies are destroyed by wild beasts. You know that, like theirs and Jezebel had in type. And now turn to Revelation 20, and he tells them, not you here, that is, we were talking last night, that is Jezebel's children, and killed them with death. I believe we had that a few minutes ago. I believe that. He said, yes, the time of moral decay. Now Jezebel is the churches, this modern church, not the bride now, this modern church. Here's the prophet revealing it. Jezebel, the Old Testament, is the type of the church today, according to the word of God, Revelation 20, because he said, thou suffer that woman Jezebel to teach. In the New Testament, God picked up the Jezebel in the Old Testament and identified to the Catholic Church. Part your age. The age before the program was where church and state got married, like Ahab and Jezebel again. When religion and politics came together. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't want to spend much time, I'm just throwing that out there for you, see? So now, notice now, but in time of Abraham and Jezebel, Elijah was in the land. So when all these powers, red horse, black horse, white horse, come together, watch Elijah in the land again. He is going to prophesy. 7,000 will be called out. He will challenge the prophets. He will put a curse on Abraham and he will put it on Jezebel. He will go off the scene. Amen. But in the days after, take it back in the Jewish form now in Romans 11. Paralleling the same thing in First Kings. For the last half of the 70th week. When Elijah comes, here is Ahab and Jezebel again. Israel and Rome in a covenant again. He shut the heaven for 3.5 years, burned up the troops, calling fire upon them, fire proceeded to them out. Kill them who tried to come against them. Moses turned the water down to blood, plague them, but it only succeeded in bringing 140,000 out. Then the beast turned around and killed Moses and Elijah, killed the foolish virgins, killed them, and keep moving on. Going down to Armageddon. Who's able to make war with me? But he has come out of the heaven. He took on the earth, but went come out of heaven. Ready for war, to judge and to make war. And that will be the physical part. But the spiritual part of the feeding of the fowls of the air, because the life have already left. How do you know? They are already being taken over and they never came in to the revelation of the bride in the bride age. To reveal Revelation 10, 8 to 11 and show what happened from 1965 to 1984. They never came in there to show they went on with eternal life. But they stay serving a historical God up to 1965. And they fall to the air. Those spirits move on. And they had no strength to shoo them away. They were saying shoo, but it was whistling in the dark. Because they're fighting one another. Because spirit and sanity fall among them, put a sword on one another. They were building walls. Defending the people. After God set them free in the Jubilee. After the 50th day. Revelation 10, okay, heaven. After 7 Sabbaths for church ages. 7 thunders. Sung in the Jubilee to bring them out. To go back to the inheritance. They want to be come back and controlled by man. They want to come back and sit down under Nicolaitans. They want to come back and be seduced in the message. They don't want to move on with the leadership of eternal life. Because they've been sprayed with certain poisons, an intellectual spray, and become rotten seeds that rotted in the path of duty, in the line to the promise. But the real bride being sprayed up with the repellent of predestination. Hallelujah! To shake the bugs off! Hallelujah! To shake the locust off! To shake the palm over the canker off and the caterpillar off! Hallelujah! So Jezebel attacked by the modern churches today because Catholic and Protestants are joined together now. Fourth seal we are here. Probably revealing the fourth seal now. This age that's going to go right up here like a fire. Now we know this. Killed by a command of God. Was Jezebel was killed because God had Jehu to go down the air, have a throw out the window and kill Jezebel and a dog eat her flesh. Is that right? Literal Jezebel Ahab is telling now. The title, literal Jezebel. Her head, the king, dogs lick his blood as the first Elijah predicted. In type, first Elijah, first Jezebel, first Ahab back there. See where we are going, don't you, prophet says? You see where we are going? You take the type and show them where we are going. Why? The first Elijah was a rejected man by the churches. Is that correct? You know the juniper tree and say, oh God, that's the only one you mean. God said, no, say that 7,000 believe in what you're saying. Hallelujah! And Jezebel and Ahab were the head of them churches, church and state, all together. And Elijah revealed Ahab sings to him and commanded the whole church to turn back to the true word. If that isn't exactly what the second Elijah is supposed to do when he comes to this church in this day. Restore back the original faith. I don't see how you're going to squeeze away from it. Turn back to the true word. That's right. He's showing him, he's taking Revelation, but to reveal Revelation, he's taking them back there. He's taking Revelation 19 with the dogs and the beasts and the fowls eat their flesh because they reject what Elijah said. That is why they get deceived when the lion spirits come out of hell into the false prophet's mouth to deceive and carry him the battle. All those people are going to battle, all these nations are going to battle. It's the same nation the prophet preached, you know. It's the same nation the message went only word 7 times, you know. It's the same generation, you know. You see where we at? Amen. Now, you want to see their bodies? Hear it now. Let's turn over to Revelation 19. We had that. After the word slays them, now the word is going to kill them. You know what? You know that? All right, now you just watch and see what's happened. When Christ in Revelation 19 began with his sentence first, I saw another angel in the sun. He said, no, that's right. Look above here. And his vest was dipped in blood. He was called King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You see what angel is? He said, look above here. Look up in the 11th verse first. Take the 17th verse and carry back the 11th verse. It's Christ. Amen. And the 13th verse is called the word. 11th verse is called King. 13th verse is the word. Down here is the angel and the son. Christ always. Out of his mouth go a sharp sword. Now that he smite the nations. Out of his mouth. Like out of God's mouth. Like out of Moses' mouth. He's dropping the spoken word. Amen. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron and tread the winepress of the fierce and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vest and on his tie a name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel. Now watch. He comes forth smiting. Who is he smiting? Jezebel and Ahab, false prophet. Revelation 19. Who is he smiting? Jezebel and them back there. When? At the battle of Armageddon. So it shows the Catholic Church in the type there and in the symbol here. Type in the Old Testament of Kings. Symbol of prophecy in Revelation. All show the destruction of the Catholic Church afterwards. Not during the time of Moses and Elijah. And that's why we are showing that those seven vials, it don't pertain to them back there. It's over here. That's what we bring it out here for you. But last night we were setting out that and dividing out that from the types. And proving that to you that is so. And I hope you're getting that. Otherwise, take a tape and go back slow and study it. Sometimes you go too fast for you here, you see? But I have to go fast because it's so much if I don't take it. Look, I didn't start in the first supper yet. So watch. He feeds them to the beasts and the birds. Now watch over here in the other chapter of the book of Revelation. And this is where I never caught it until just recently. But I was preaching, he couldn't remember the verse. But he's preaching Revelation 6, you see? And he couldn't remember the verse. So while he, in Revelation 19, he was showing how the beast and the fox is eating it. They paid 49. And he says, now watch over here in the other chapter of the book of Revelation, just a minute. And like he paused there to catch the verse and he couldn't catch it. And just quote it now. I didn't turn it, but he didn't call the verse. He said, kill with the sword and death and the beast of the earth. And I always read it over, but never turn back to the verse. But when I turn back to the verse, which is Revelation 6, he was taking Revelation 6, where he was going to claim a death, the sword, famine, and the beast of the earth. And he was tying it there, because those three powers is what get destroyed in the battle of Armageddon. That's the Catholic Church organize everything there, religion, politics, and demon powers, all gathered together, going down to Armageddon. And they're already being gathered now. It's about, the thing about sold up. The squeeze is already been ushered in. Because the World Congress had the greatest meeting just last July. Now the Pope have gone there where the body was. Identified with the head to the body. And we were very speaking the trumpets. I was kept on referring that. And even before, showing you that the bride moon parallel. Now I'm showing you here again, look where we are now. Look what we're into now. Which is so plain and so real and so clear in the scriptures that a person would have to be not sincere or don't know the word to say that these things are the truth. You see? So watch here. Kill with sword and death and the beast of the earth. Under the force that happens here. Spiritual, Revelation 19, it happens literal. You getting that? Under the fourth seal and the 6th to the 8th there, it spiritually struck when the prophet went out with the message. They reject the message. Spiritual death hit the churches. All the organs and Laodicea was dead. Blackout came and God threw the rock up in the air. America passed redemption. All nations passed redemption. God began to do individuals come like a thief in the night. The one shall be taken, the other shall remain. The one shall be taken, the other shall remain. Take it up in the mystery, the seventh seal, the revelation that rapture only for the bride, the father's spiritual genes. No! This is part that is happening now! While the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven! But that literal part will take place down here. So then you wonder if it's people that are reverencing devils. and worshiping Satan ignorantly. And to worship Satan is not to be to get some image or some idol. Some people who is more blind than some do it that way. But the real worshiping Satan is like Eve do when she went out and believed the error. She cast aside God's word and she take Lucifer's lie. And she was actually worshiping the devil there. That's why all of them sit and worship had a serpent all the time coming all the way down. God is evil, Satan Eden. But Abraham says, man's person being established in the heart. So this is the time, he says, after those seven angels have gone, then that mighty one comes down. Because no earthly angels no more. No man no more. God is on the scene. Amen! God, remove man of this in the bright and morning skies here. And where is man? Who have the audacity to want to step in there and try to project their person after the person of the Holy Ghost is already revealed unto us and we worship in the living Christ moving in and out amongst us. None other than the serpent and the Nicolaitans coming between Adam and his bride again. God forth another one going to come between the Son of Man and the Omega bride. You're going to try to come in, but brother, she'll try him. She have a holy woman's taste. Amen. So Jezebel actually bodies eaten by the false and the beast of the earth, just like the Ahab and Jezebel was in the natural, so they have to be in the spiritual form of the church. Do you see what I mean? Elijah was the prophet in the days of Ahab and Jezebel, natural, and he promised to do the same thing according to the dust of the Lord in the word to the Jezebel spiritual in his form of ministry. Watch, Elijah, though in his day properly, profoundly vindicated, could not turn them back to the word. Is that right? Though Elijah tried everything, he didn't. He showed signs and wonders. God, Father God, pillar of fire, Father God, pillar of cloud, it couldn't turn them back. God, come in and do it, take it out and film, it couldn't turn them back. God, did that around the world, it couldn't turn them back. They love pleasure. They didn't want to bring forth sons in his own image. But they wanted pleasure. They didn't want the responsibility in visible union of bringing up children, Acts 58, screaming babies. They had no second mother. And you know, they're talking about spiritual incest. It only produces idiots. There are a bunch of idiots in the message too. Is the product of spiritual incest. People trying to pervert the spirit of God by coming out to the calling and trying to bring the spirit into another office. After he shows he must have 5 months to do God a true service. After he shows an influence of another that God is no respecter, no person. God will bless you every time you leave the world, God will judge you. Amen. See. Now we have all these idiots today. So all Elijah tried, he couldn't bring back. He just said they were doing the spiritual. He could not turn them back to do it. Out of millions. Listen, church, now close, he said. Now that's going to be, you guys are going to be confusing. There's out of the millions in the world in the days of Elijah, when Jezebel and Ahab was winning the type of the anti-type today. In the type of the anti-type today. Out of the whole world, there were 7,000 save of Elijah's preaching. Is that right? And then he went in the whole, oh God, pull the seal back. I won't have time to read it all. I want to get to some other things. He pulled the seal back and he showed Elijah under the seal there is something going in the rapture. He was talking about in a parable showing that little group represented the bride also on this side, just as it represented the elect 104,000 on the other side. Amen. But what I got there to show you is that the same way it feed upon them Jezebel and Ahab naturally, it will feed upon them in the spiritual form here today. The demon powers coming over to take over the church. So tonight, we're more emphasizing that part of it, the spiritual demons that are moving upon people that rejected the word and have not moved on with eternal life and death has struck them and people are wondering what is going on in the churches. They wonder why things are happening. But darkness and death and demon powers have taken over, have been an invasion of false and wicked spirits and many people under the influence of misguided spirits leading many astray. Find in the church's book. Now, quickly now, we're finishing out here. Sorry, I know have a few more scriptures I want to get quickly, and we close. So I trust you'll bear with me next 5-10 minutes. Jeremiah 34.
May I come right back here tomorrow, because I don't
want to be hurry with these things, because I feel God is speaking to us at this time and making something plain. I don't want to hurry over like a message. We have to go. That's why we have all these consecutive services, so we can focus our attention and get under the inspiration of it. This is very astounding to me when the Holy Spirit just began to reveal these things today, out from scripture to scripture in the Bible there, and make it so plain. Then I really began to understand how that was God's judgment all through the Bible for people when they left the Word. And notice the fowls eat them, Baasha, Jeroboam, his son, Nebat, all them, Ahab, Jezebel, in the evening time. At supper, come to the supper of the great God. In the evening time is going on. Not morning time or midday, in the evening time. So in this day, all these things is happening. Remember Jesus telling the parable, the fowls in the air will come and pick the seed out your heart too? You take up your Bible and run up to your concordance and see where you're going to find it. Jeremiah 34, verse 8. This is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. After King Zedekiah made a covenant with all the people who were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them. Get it crucified in Jerusalem. Have an earthly Jerusalem, have a heavenly Jerusalem. Is that correct? Galatians 4 tells us that. Children of the free woman and children of the bondswoman. Hagar and Sarah. The right channel and the wrong channel. Same Abraham seed. Now you see how we zero in now? We zero into the church now. We zero in here in the framework of the message now. To fully nail down the spiritual path of the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field eating these people. Now remember the fourth seal and Revelation 19, Revelation 6, 7, and 8 and Revelation 19 is sword, famine, hunger, and the beasts of the field devouring them. Is that correct? What happened back in Ahab and them? Same thing. All to the Bible. How will God, Jesus Christ, kill them? With the sword of his mouth. Kill them in the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air. Kill them in spiritual death. See what he's saying? Alright. So that is always God's judgment for leaving the world. But all accumulates in its fullness at the end of the Bible. Where the fullness of the wrath of God will be poured out. When hell itself is here. And that's that time we're living in. So brothers and sisters, don't you see how sincere we ought to be and walking in truth and doing the truth? Okay, Jeremiah 34:8, let me study a little bit again. This is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. After the king Zedekiah made a covenant with all the people who are at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them, two Jerusalems, earthly and heavenly. Keep that in mind. That every man, because there's a type here, that should let his manservant and every man, his maidservant, being an Hebrew and Hebrewess, go free. That none should enslave them, to wit, a Jew his brother. See? They come out of Egypt, and God made a covenant to them. He said, oh, your brothers and sisters, don't you enslave them no more. Because they was used in Pharaoh kingdom in Egypt. Egypt is the organization, Sodom is the world. Is that correct? Then Elijah and Moses were laid dead in the streets of that place called spiritually Solomon, Egypt. Okay, now watch. Now here. So here then we see in the scripture that they come out from Egypt, God bring them out. They had the people in bondage, like organization. Many people in the organization. And they too held people in bondage by being a servant of the denomination they was in. So when they come out with the message now, they say, all right, we come out of the old Egypt, old slave master, and over here we're not under the leadership of man no more. The Holy Ghost, the pillar of fire, call us out. All right? You're free now. Led by God. God's your leader. Not to me, God's your leader. The dove leading the eagles. That's the message. And they turn around and enslave them again afterwards. Find out. And by enslaving them, fowls and beasts and sword come upon them in the same place. Now you tell me if these things has happened on earth. Now we study here. Verse 10. Now when all the princes and all the people, all the ministers, congregation, who had entered into the covenant, heard that everyone should let his manservant and everyone his maidservant go free, that none should enslave them anymore, then they obeyed and let them go. But afterward, few years after, right after the prophet died, they turned and caused the servants and the handmaids who they had let go free to return. They caused it, eh? That's what it says. And after they turned and caused. Cause have motive and objective. Cause have intelligence behind it. Cause have deceitful working. Holding the word, handling the word deceitfully. Holding the righteousness. Saying, the pastor is the full authority in the church. And they use that wrongfully with a wrong spirit. Though that is correct. But they use that motive to bind people to themselves and fear them. Church order! And they police them! Because the denominational devils were still upon them. Though they come out of Egypt, Egypt didn't come out of them. And they still had a big ruler self. Still had a big lordship over God heritage self. And then people come out of Egypt with that kind of spirit. That, like Johnny Crow, when they were set free, the spirit was still tied up, so they still had to stay that kind of way. And when the eagles are flying south, they said, Johnny Crow, it's winter coming by, you're free, the Son of Man, the Supreme Judge, have set you free. He said, boy, the prophet is still the pastor you are going to take you through. Yes, the prophet said that. He said, but if it's a feed of chickens, run for your life. Hallelujah. This is the Bible. This is the Bible being revealed. These are man's ideas. They caused the servants and handmaids whom they had let go free to return and brought them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. They still wanted them to serve them. Therefore the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, thus said the Lord, the God of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers in the day that I brought them forth from the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Saying, at the end of 7 years, let go every man, his brother in Hebrew, who had been sold unto thee. And when he had served thee 6 years, thou shalt let him go free for thee. But your father's heart not unto me, neither inclined their ear. And you were now turned and done right in my sight in proclaiming liberty. Oh my, you going to give me a few minutes? I want to pick up some scriptures here and show you in the spiritual realm today what a proclaiming liberty is. Peter says they proclaim liberty, but them themselves is in bondage. He said, how could they preach liberty if they're in bondage? I'll pick it up just now. He said they're still under corruption, eyes full of adultery, and they're preaching deliverance. They need to be delivered first! Shut your mouth and say, I'm going to be sanctified! I do a man with a pillar of fire in front of him. Then when God said, who will go for us? You go in reverence, humility, and action. A prepared servant. Amen. And you will now turn and done right my son, proclaiming liberty of man to his neighbor, and you made a covenant before me in the house, which is called by my name. You see what that is? That is a denomination, that blasphemous names. In the house, which is called by my name, in Egypt there was some blasphemous names. But in the house, which is called by my name. Is the end of proclaiming liberty in the house which is called by my name. In Egypt, there's another blasphemous name. They call them out of Egypt out of bondage. And they come proclaiming liberty now. But why does in the house that is called by his name, they turn around. And they make them back servants and slaves. Therefore, thus said the Lord, you have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty. Everyone and to his brother and every man to his neighbor. And behold, I proclaim a liberty for you, said the Lord, to the sword and to the pestilence and to the famine. And I'll make you to be removed into all the kingdom of the earth. Do you see the foxes come back there again? To the sword, to the famine, to the pestilence, and I will give there the men who have transgressed my covenant, who have not performed the words of the covenant that they had made before me, when they cut the calf in two, that back in, we picked up just now, Genesis 15, when Daniel held me the covenant in those days, they divide the animal in two, and the pillar of fire, God and they will come and walk through it, and then they will walk through it, and if so that breach that covenant mean that they let them be dead as that calf is dead? If they give their breaking the covenant, that's how to make it back there. And they did that thing, they would set the people free. And many people come and cry with tears. And the saints, you know, back in the organization, we preach so and so and so, and God brings us to the light, and we're so thankful, and all kinds of different things, and they turn right back and crowd the people. See? And all the people of the land who passed in the calf, the part of the calf, I will even give them into the hands of their enemies, and into the hand of those who seek their lives, and their dead bodies, that is death also, death, the sword, pestilence and famine. That's spiritual death. And their bodies, the church bodies today, all these, who are spiritually dead, God just going to represent the church bodies spiritually today, shall be for food unto the fowls of heaven, and to the beasts of the field. Is that correct? Yeah. Jeremiah 15. Trying to finish out really quickly, but I want to nail this down and show that that's always God's judgment, and it's going right now because we see it end up in the physical part when the whole thing is destroyed in Revelation 19, which we're just on the verge of. So then how dead are they spiritually dead here? Twice dead, plucked by the roots. Clouds on water, waves foaming out their own shame. Jeremiah 15. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward these people, cast them unto my son and let them go forth. Who was Moses? Moses called the Exodus? Go back and stand in the gap. Moses threw himself before the people. That's what God talking about here. And God, Moses, Lord, take me. And the prophet stand in the gap. He was a prophet like unto Moses. He was standing the gap for the people between living and dead. And Samuel is what? Rejected king. When God says, not me they reject Samuel. It's not you they reject. It's me they reject. The leader. They want organization. They want like the other nations. Amen. And those same two anointings was here. Moses and Samuel was here. Yeah. Because both messengers preached standing the gap. And rejected king. When they reject the Holy Spirit and the prophet. Like Samuel. This is not somebody trying to force something. This is what the Holy Spirit is revealing. I sit there under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for 5 hours. And just, I don't have anything in the Bible that I've for myself. But I know it's God doing it. And proving His words right. Stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward these people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, and they say, where shall we go? Then thou shalt send to them, such as are for death, to death. That is where you're going to go. Such as are for death, who cross the line, who reject life, and they are for death, cast them to death. Such as are for the sword, to the sword. Live by the sword, they die by the sword. Such as are for famine, to famine. Are we in that time right now? Such as a captivity to captivity. And I will appoint over them four kinds, said the Lord. The sword to slay, the dogs to tear, the fowls of heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and to destroy. Is that the scripture? Is that Revelation 6? Is that Revelation 19? Is that the tie back in Ahab and Jezebel for rejecting Elijah's message? Is that going to happen here today again? Yes. Is it happening in spiritual form now? Yes. Jeremiah 16, 1 to 9. Let's read a little bit again. The word of the Lord came out unto me saying, thou shalt not take a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. For thus the Lord concerning the sons and concerning the daughters who are born in this place, concerning their mothers and who bore them, and concerning their fathers who begot them in the land, they shall die. Now what are all these people in the message? Who, after they say the same thing, they reject the word again, like Samuel, and they reject the word that signed the gap again, today again. Hear what the judgment is. And hear what God say now. God tells Jeremiah this now. He said, thou shalt not take a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. For thus shall the Lord concern the sons and daughters who are born in this place, concerning their mothers and who bore them, and concerning their fathers who begot them in this land, they shall die of grievous deaths. Get again, death. They shall be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be refused upon the face of the earth, and they shall be consumed by what? The sword. And by what? Famine. And their carcasses shall be for meat, for food, for the fowls of heaven, and for the beasts of the earth. Amen? For thus said the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament or bemoan for them, for I have taken my peace from this people, said the Lord, even loving kindness and mercies. His peace was among them. When they seek me, I will think thoughts of peace towards them. I bring them back to Babylon, back to the land. But what's going to happen now? I'll take all that peace from them. I'll put confusion among them. And confusion is what? Babylon. Disunity like a Babel. Cast it out to all nations in the earth, as he said. The world will swallow them up. Both the great and small shall die in this land, rich and poor, bond and free. But they shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bow for them. Neither shall men tear for them in mourning. As Burnham said, Father, is I suffering for America? Did he say it? Is that a proof of America no more? When he got in the meeting 1965 December all day now, when he saw what's going on, it was finished. He said, Lord, I pray for them who are safeable. He said, because he ordered the sickness and the debt. Those who cross the line, John said, I tell you, don't pray for them. Reject the word, sin willfully disobedient. God said, do like your brother and you won't do it. Because of pride, you want your own private way? No way. Thou shalt not also go into the house of feasting to sit with them to eat and drink. Thou shalt not also go into the house of feasting to sit with them to eat and drink. He have his table spread. He has bidden to his supper. They don't want to come to his supper. So he turn around and make them a supper for the fowls of the air. Come to the supper, the great God, because when I come in there this year, and I went out there in the Hillary revival, called the Holy Lamb and Maven Blind before the second pole. The third time I went out was judgment. So he called only those because there was still room. And when the Pentecostal refused it, he went in the highways and byways and found us to take up that place. Now what's happening again quickly? A lot of time I just trade out here for you. Back when the Son of Man came, Jesus, in the earthly ministry, and he's preaching there. And he gave the invitation to the Jews first. In the life, what is the gospel? To come to the supper, the marriage supper, and they turn it down. Those demons that came out of the legion went in the hogs. Came out of the hogs. Those in the wallow. And where it went when they drunk. The hogs died, but the spirits live on. Where did it went? The prophecy upon the priests. That crucified Jesus afterwards. And the fowls of the air, the beasts of the field got them. And then finally, natural fowls and beasts eat them when Titus came. Because they rejected the entrance to the supper and they crossed the line. But he says, I will knock on your door. And if you open it, I'll come in. So you have to open your door. I'll come in and sup with you. Amen. What? A 7-course menu? Yeah. Spiritual food in due season? Yeah. A table spread millions of miles long along the world? Yeah. And the lamb walking, drying away tears right now. Yeah. Holy, you have the sorrow no more? He's giving you a consolation to let you know you have the evidence of going in the rapture right now. Yeah. You will not go through the tribulation. Dry your tears. Hallelujah. You will not hunger no more. You will not thirst no more. Because the river is flowing and the better life is here. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 8, Jeremiah 16. And thou shalt not go into the house of feasting them, to sit with them and eat with them. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness. No revival. They can't laugh at revelation no more. The voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the is that the scriptures? Sword, famine, death, pestilence. They reject the word. They turn back and bring the people, God people back in bondage. Because a spirit of Nicolaitan is upon them. After they proclaim liberty to begin with. After the Son of Man opened his book and tell them they are the sinless, spotless, virtuous bride. Set them free. Man comes to put them back in bondage. And the fowls of the air and the beasts will come upon them. To feed upon them. Four things he said. Dogs to tear, fowls to devour, sword to slay, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. Amen. Quickly. Jeremiah 19. You see, Jeremiah prophecy was pointed a lot toward Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, the last days, there, the most holy place, there, the most holy crucified him, most shameful that him, the revealed word. You know what I'm saying? Laodicea, there in Laodicea, there, the Pentecost crucified him, the revealed word, by blasting the Holy Ghost. That's the crucifixion. Jeremiah 19. Okay, let me take verse 1, quickly. My, thank you for your patience tonight. Thus said the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen vessel, earthen flask, and take it to the ancient of the people, and to the ancient of the priests, and go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entrance of the east gate, and proclaim there the word that I shall tell thee, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, concerning which whosoever here is air shall tingle. Because they have forsaken me, they have desecrated this place and have burned incense in it unto other gods. God bring them out in the excess, bring them in place where he placed his name. And instead of that threefold revelation of his name, the righteous run into the name of the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, is a mighty tower that the righteous run into and are safe. In the hiding place, in the plague, getting ready to be poured out. And men want to do what? Burn incense to other gods? Lift up other personalities? Bring a spirit of idolatry among God people? It's the Bible! God have forsaken me, they have desecrated this place. Have burnt incense into other gods, and neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. They have, you know, people they lose them under the blood. You know, people they slaughter when they're drunken with all kind of perverted intoxicated and perverted wine, and drunk with pleasure, and lose them under the blood and slaughter them. The blood of all these innocent people upon the hand. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire. That's exactly what they do. Sacrifice a lot of people to get what they want. Yes! Spiritually! Now don't think of it. Think heavenly Jerusalem, we're talking. Amen. See? Unto Baal, and who would have commanded not, nor spoken, neither came it into my mind. God said, even think that. And they cannot not give the word. They do not have assurance, like if they would have spoken word in the Bible. Therefore, behold, the days come, said the Lord, this place shall no more be called Topheth, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And I will make void the council of Jerusalem, Judah and Jerusalem in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before the enemies and by the hands of those who seek their lives, and their carcasses will I give to be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the field, and I will make this city desolate and unhissing. Everyone that passes by it shall be appalled, and it's because of its what? Plagues. And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and shall eat everyone the flesh of his friend in the seed of distress, with which their enemies and their seed their lives shall distress them, and them demon power upon them. You watch what kind of perversion take place in the church. Back in Titus, in the natural realm, when Ezekiel 9 was repeating itself, what's going on? Look, let me show how plain this is. You see, you might say in the natural mind, but that's Ezekiel 9 is talking about. When Titus slaughtered Jerusalem. Ezekiel 9 repeats itself in the last days. Who was Titus? A type of the communists. To do what? Destroy the church. To do what? Reject the Son of Man message. But before that come, not one of the Christians was caught in their way. The sealing angel dropped down. Michael himself to deliver them who were strong in the book. Page 30, Feast of the Trumpet, the sealing angel. Ezekiel 9 will repeat in the last days. Page 47, Leadership. 1965. He said the sealing angel will go on to the churches, marking those who sign cry for the abominations. When father eating daughter, brother eating sister flesh. In the church, in Jerusalem. Listen about kind of men pushing the spirit of idolatry get there. Where does those devils come from? Not the Euphrates? Where every abomination come from? Are you seeing what the bride is up against? I try to God unveil to you through the messages what the bride is up against in the spiritual. I should be catching tonight the spiritual realm from the world and show what is happening before the physical destruction part come, you know. And I'm sure it's a plague always under that fortress, all through the Bible, every place you're reading here to show you four things there that happen when they reject that word, when they reject Elijah. That message there, when it comes to them. Picking up the types in the Old Testament, picking up the prophecy in the New Testament, picking up the symbols in the book of Revelation, and make it plain, and the message to show it to you. Oh, he's in Jeremiah 19. I didn't finish it. I have a couple more verses to get. And verse 9. And I'll call them to eat the flesh of the sons, the flesh of the daughters, and they shall eat everyone, the flesh of his friend, in the season of distress, with their enemies, and they shall seek their lives, shall distress them, then, when that is going on, after they see all that, then break the flask. If they take a flask, a bottle, go out there, talk these things to them, and when they reach this part, break the flask. And tell them, then thou shalt say to them, thus said the Lord of hosts, even so will I break these people in this city, as one breaketh a pot of vessels that can't be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Topheth, till there be no place to bury. Thus will I do unto this place, said the Lord, and unto its inhabitants, and even make this city like Topheth, and the house of Jerusalem and the house of the kings of Judah shall be defiled like the place of Topheth, because of all the houses upon whose roofs they have burned incense, and upon the host of heaven have poured out drink offerings unto other gods. And look at other gods that he doesn't worship, talking about. That in this age, is men personally being established in the hands of people. That is the spirit of idolatry. I have Paul, I have Cephas, I have Apollos. That kind of spirit get among the people. in the carnality. That is what the Bible calls carnality. Turn to another Jesus, all these things. Then came Jeremiah from Topheth, where the Lord had sent him the prophet, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, "Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I'll bring upon the city and upon its tongue all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my words." Amen. Jeremiah 7. We're closing out. I just can't do it. It's too much. I refer the scriptures, you read them when you go home. I'll take a couple more and you read the rest when you go home. Now, Topheth, what we're reading about there, was the name of certain high places built in the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is just south of Jerusalem. And in these high places, they offered human sacrifices. That's why God said, pass them through the fire, and these things I didn't tell you to do, they sacrifice the children. And today, you find those very spiritual in the message. People is giving up their children, and their family being torn apart, all these kind of different things, for false teaching. Before man preach and show the truth in the world, that they can believe within the household and apply it, talk with confidence, you guys, or wherever they are, people are actually trying to sow this call and tear families apart and sacrifice son and sacrifice daughter, this one, for false teaching, which is other gods. Right in the message. Because the devil come out of Euphrates River. Called a Babylon upon his men to bring them back in bondage. Because people pick up spirits and they don't know to pick them up. God, they have a thinking man filtered if their thinking is not filtered. See? And in this place, Josiah, in 2 Kings 23, and Jeremiah, I read into our scoping notes here, part of the history, please, predicted that the valley would be known as the valley of slaughter. We just read. From the horror of the fires of its idolatrous rites and its pollution by Josiah, the valley became the symbol of a great burning in connection with sin. Which is a type of hell. So God said, I'll bring them down to that place. Where there will be a great burning, I'll destroy them there. I will call the place of the valley of slaughter. The same place as the children, offer the children, I'm going to destroy them and burn them down here. And kill them, put them to the sword and all these things. Which, spiritually, we talk about where the pale horse riders bring them down to hell. To be destroyed in the lake of fire. Death is separation from God's presence. So Jeremiah 7:29. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem. Cast it away. And take up a lamentation in high places. For the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, said the Lord. And they have set the abomination in the house which is called by my name. To pollute it. And they have built the high place of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I command them not, neither came it into my heart. They do things that God never tell them. God didn't ask for that. They had atonement according to the word that come once a year. That a lot of the religious works that is contrary to the revealed word. All the sacrifice, give it to feed the poor, he said, profit you nothing if you're not in the world. If you're with somebody, you're going to get blessed, it profit you nothing. Give your body to be burned, it profit you nothing. Is that what the Bible says? But look at right here. Don't be restless. We have a few moments, let's finish it out. And they are building high places, right? Okay. Verse 32. Therefore, behold, the days come, said the Lord, and it shall no more be called Topheth, nor the valley of son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter, for they shall burn in Topheth, till they shall be buried in Topheth, till there be no place. And the carcasses of this people shall be what? Meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall frighten them away. Then, in other words, they were put there to be a supper, and the fowls of the earth and the beasts of the earth invited to that supper. Come and feed upon them. Nobody going to frighten them away and shoot them away when they're eating on that. Because that is God's judgment upon them. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem and from the voice of mother and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. And the voice of the bride is giving the final call right now. The spirit, the voice of the bridegroom, and the bride, the final voice of the final age, is saying, come. Soon it will be taken away. Quick, short message going forth. The thunders, the vials, the plagues, all these things, to finish the book of Revelation. One more for on the positive side for you now. Genesis 15. We close with that. Study when you go home. Be a student of the word. Know this Bible. Know what's going on. Read the Bible and pray every day and it'll grow. But know what to read. Amen. Keep it long enough tonight. But I trust you enjoyed. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Amen. Encourage me when I hear you say that. I know the God has given it to us and I'm glad to see you can receive it and receiving it. And thank God we're not seeing all these funny faces, but we're seeing our faces concentrating, listening, receiving, examining, applying. That's very wonderful. The trust is helping you to be more fervent, to be more circumspect, to recognize the evil in the evil age as we get a little more later on in the week. I don't know how I can ever finish the thing, the volume of things that's there, and I have there to go in and preach, and when I come each night and see how the Holy Spirit is leading and passing, I just trust that God provide and make a way for us that we could come, because I think it would be better we give it out while we're getting it, rather than kind of wait, because the bell is already ringing there, they may settle in Honduras, and we have some other plans also, which I don't want to disclose as yet, so the end of this year, moving on, could be very uncertain. So I just want to give you from my heart what God has given me to give you at this time so we can just look at these things and be ready. Amen. Genesis 15, and verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord who brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give this land to inherit it. Isn't that nice? That's what God did for us in this day. And he said, Lord God, where shall I know? I shall inherit it. And he said unto him, take me an heifer. You see the calf they were talking about in Jeremiah, when they made the covenant, how they walked through it, when God called them out, and said, don't hold people in bondage no more. This is right to the covenant, the blood, representing the atonement. Of 3 years old, and a she-goat, of 3 years old, and a ram, of 3 years old. Notice, the heifer and the she-goat, they're both females, and now the churches, and then the ram is a male. And that was the word coming after. Type in this age. We are churches, but then the word come. The prophet said that. I just quote that here, but he said it. He said, and the trio, and the turtle dove, and the young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against the other, and the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Amen. Because that wasn't for judgment. That was an atonement. God making to confirm a covenant. But those demon powers, but it's taking over everything. But here is a son of Abraham. Abraham and his seed. What God did with Abraham, for Abraham and his seed after him. Is that correct? And when the sun was going down, when it was? Evening time. A deep sleep. And that represented debt to all human beings, debt on the human race, debt. Fell upon Abraham. And lo, and horror, it represented debt coming upon the earth, and a horror of great darkness. That's the two last plagues right there. That is coming. And he said unto Abraham, I know for surety thy seed shall be a sojourner in a strange land, that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and after they shall come with great substance, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come here again, back in Ephesians. Here again, that, because that's the land where he was in. He had been called an early child, like how they call it Judaism, into the message. Son of man in the first age. Then they went on and settled in a strange land 400 years. Then in the fourth generation, four church ages, they come back. Luther went with Pentecost, and in the brightest, you're back in the Ephesians. Alright? And in that time, the iniquity of the Amorites is full now. Wasn't full back in Paul, in when the Son of Man came the first time. But when the Son of Man has been revealed in the last days now, and then the cup full. Because Sodom and Gomorrah is here, time for the last time before judgment, all these things moving in. Because darkness come upon people, spiritual death, the last plague, strike, everything take place at that time. When? In the evening time. And it came to pass when the sun went down, the age of the Son of Man in bright form, when it had been revealed in the bright age, when mercy was ended, when the sun went down, because the Son of Man, the Indian, was in bright form, in the bright age. And when that bright age is finished, that space of half an hour, time is no more. It's run out. It was dark. And behold, a smoking furnace. He said, and that is hell, where death was taking them. All who die in death, deep sleep, darkness come upon them, a smoking furnace, when the sun went down. And a burning lamp that came during that time and passed between those pieces. That is a pillar of fire. He said, Abraham made a covenant and was waiting there for God to confirm the covenant. The pillar of fire comes with the confirmation. He did his part. He made a covenant with, and covenant how God said, and laid out the word. And the word is laid out. And he had to keep the messiahship straight. Keep the sacrifice clean. Keep the church in step. And the sun was going down, slowly going down. Then it went down, it became dark all over. Death was there. A deep sleep. And a smoking furnace, hell. But before that time, when those demon power moving, here's Abraham shooing them off, to keep the sacrifice clean. Amen. So every, in this hour, those fowls of the air, coming again, I want to take the whole chapter because it's so rich inside of there. You see spiritually where all those blessings and curses are and how they're all gathered up right now. Now, Deuteronomy 28, I'm going to read two verses and leave you to read the chapter when you go home. But read the whole thing, the blessings and the curses. Deuteronomy 28, 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, which came to the prophet, to observe all, to do all his commandments, and his statutes that commanded thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Curse will be in the city, curse will not be in the field, curse will be thy breadbasket, famine, curse will be thy kneading trough, famine, death, hunger, starvation, curse will be the fruit of thy body, all kind of adultery and fornication come into the body, not meekness and long suffering and gentleness and peace, spiritual body now. Curse will be thy land, or the increase of thy cows and thy flocks and thy sheep. Okay? But the verse I want to get. Okay, let me read that verse. Curse shall not be when thou comest in, and curse will be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall send upon the cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thy hand to do. You see why some people can't prosper? Disobedience to the word. Put a vexation upon some people. And how have this temper? How have this self? It can't leave me. You're not obeying the word. You're supposed to have a meek and quiet spirit. With a great price. In the sight of God. And you're full of vexation. You're like, watch. Disobedience to the word. You don't have to do all that he said. Until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly. Swift destruction. Because the wickedness of thy doings, why thou hast forsaken me, forsake the word again. And the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave to thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land to which thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with extreme burning, and with a sore, and with blight, and with mildew, and shall pursue thee until thou perish.
and thy heaven that is over thy head. Alright? Now the heaven of our head is spiritual blessings in heavenly place in Christ Jesus. And that's what is pouring out of heaven, that spiritual rain, watering us here. Alright? Are we planted by the river? Because the mountains, the high places there, catch the rain first and bring it down. Down to the lower ones, the valley, like the prophet bring the word down. Down to the people. And then the rivers, they take it through the land. And they irrigate the land and the trees that's planted there. They've been nourished and bring forth fruit. The leaves shall not wither. Like a man, the trees like a man, bringing forth fruit in due season. But the heaven shall be brass. No rain. Dry, dead services. Brassy skies. Famine, dry, parched ground. And the earth that only shall be like iron. No, all the seed that is sowed, it produced nothing. Labor in vain. And the Lord shall make the rain of the land powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thy enemies. And thou shalt go one way against them and flee 7 ways before them. And thou shalt be moved into all the kingdoms of the earth. What become in Jeremiah there? And thy carcass shall be food unto what? All fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. No man shall drive them away. Now is God curse in the beginning for disobedience to the word. Look in Revelation where it ends up in the last days at the end of this world system. Before the kingdom of God come back in. Look where it ends up to. The very same judgment here and back up there for rejection of the word. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I hope you're able to pick up the first supper a little bit. With the prophet ministry going out there with a healing revival to attract people's attention. And then the third time, given the healing, was the word compelling them to come in. Because all things was now ready. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just, let's just get quiet before him a little bit. Look what happened to the Jews when they rejected the Son of Man ministry. After Elijah introduced the Son of Man. Who gave them the invitation to come to the supper. Demon powers got a hold of them. Then Titus, the armies, came in and destroyed them. Fell at the edge of the sword. Fowls and the beasts fell upon them. When they rejected his invitation, they crossed the line of mercy and entered into judgment. And they became the supper. For the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. And in the evening time, supper time, the great God have two suppers. An invitation first, all things are ready. The 7 seals are open, 7 course menu. Come to this feast. Spiritual feast of Pentecost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. You get the same penny. We give you a rapture in faith. To grow that seed into the word image. And again, many bidden to come to the feast have made excuses. The lust of the flesh, the pride of, that's excuses. Because they get entangled in the affairs of this life, they get caught in the snares of this world. What was warned by Jesus about? They live for me that perisheth. They store the treasure where moth and rot the crop and thieves break through and steal. And again they have crossed the line. Alive in the body but dead in the soul. All they have is a form of God in the outward motion from all the religious learning they have, but yet it never brought them to the knowledge of the truth. Because they are reprobates concerning defeat. One faith, one Lord, one baptism that Malachi 4 restored back. And here again, God gathers elected seed around his supper table. Feasting on the table The door spread. All his redemptive blessings, all his promises of this day, all these things being revealed. And people choose to be in bondage, to corruption, to be servants of corruption, to be influenced by those who are influenced from those demons in the Euphrates River. Lucifer angels. But what's going to happen? They who reject his supper will become the supper for the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air. This is the condemnation and light has come. Judgment is because of rejection of the word. Failing to move on with eternal life. That which I will have follow the word right up to the Jewish age. Here is the word for the season. Being identified in the scripture, so the scripture is the only thing of eternal life, the testify of me. If I do the works of Messiah, then they believe me. But if I do the works, believe that I am he. He came as a master. What must I do to have eternal life? Eternal life identifies himself to him from the word. And say, follow me, the leader of eternal life. Move on with eternal life. Go on with the life. Don't stay back in the shock that the life move on out of. Don't stay back in the carrier. Don't stay back in the historical part of the message. Move on with the life. You are confronted with it. And if these things are the truth, you are confronted with it. If this is life, you are confronted with it. You cannot walk away and say the nice message. If these things were to be made known, if these things were to be revealed, if he had promised he's going to come back around, when you have reason to see and make these things plain, show us how to end the rapture in faith. Give us power to overcome, overcoming power to keep the devils away. Like Abraham, he had overcoming power. Shoot them off! But many choose to sit on long tables filled with vomit. All kind of filthy tables. But you're always here. We are confronted with eternal life. You have to come here. I talk about moving on with the life, the word, the truth. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's think prayerfully, surely, goodness and mercy. You make your decision in your heart. You know what you believe. Surely, goodness. All the day, all the day. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord.
And I shall dwell
at the pyramid, the tower that the righteous running to are safe tonight. The secret place, the hidden food. Come to the real supper tonight. Hear his voice and live. He's trying to knock at your door tonight. He wants to come in and sup with you. Communion, real fellowship, like you had with Adam in the cool of the evening, back in the Garden of Eden. Divine fellowship. Oh, one more time. Everyone, sing every head, by the eye, prayerfully, meaningfully.
Lord,
Meet it with your heart tonight. Make a decision. Open your door. Into my heart, Lord. Hallelujah. All the days. You have eternal life tonight. Oh, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Lift your hands, if that's your desire. That's your testimony. His house is his bride, his body. I shall feast. Don't be a supper for the birds and the fowls. Feed upon his spiritual vitamins. It's bread for you. A seven-course menu. Oh, then goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. A love that passes all knowledge, a peace that passes all understanding. Oh, into my heart, into my heart. Come into my heart. Let's sing that. Do you want that tonight? The person of the Holy Ghost? Those who want the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Into my heart. Open your door. Sing to the Holy Spirit. Bid him welcome. Holy. Oh, coming today now, even now, Lord. Let him get the control tower. Make him control your life. He don't want your mind. He wants them in your soul. In the control tower. Oh, Jesus. Oh, one more time. Everyone in one voice, one heart, one mind, one spirit. Every hand lifted up in worship, in praise, with sincerity. Let the seal of God come. Don't reject the Holy Spirit. Don't reject His word. Otherwise, the fall to the air will come. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, what can we do? What can we say, Lord, when we come face to face with your word? When reality faces us, when it comes at a striking impact, oh God, we thank you tonight. Even though, Lord, we see place in our lives need to be strengthened. Straighten up, Lord. We thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, your love and your grace coming on to us. We can catch that spiritual understanding of the happenings in the spiritual realm. We can have to look and have the right diagnosis. Oh God, of the symptoms that identify the spiritual conditions. Oh God, that so many have gone into. And then, Lord, to see the lateness of the hour. To see it about finish.
God, we buckle the armor tight tonight. We will pledge our hearts to serve you and be more sincere, Father. Lord, I lift my hand and pray to you tonight, Lord. Oh God, be more sincere tonight. Lord, after we see, Lord God, the grace of God coming unto us, we will be caught up into the destruction of this world and the insanity of the people and the demon powers in the darkness that move in, oh God. When it can be in our right minds, when it can be led by the Holy Spirit, the dove leading the eagles, when it can be fully sustained and intelligent and right in the Word, when it can be walking the bloody footprints, and the dove is here, he's come to lead the eagles. What a consolation that is to us, Lord. What a peace that gives us. What an anchor that is to our soul. Oh God. Lord, that should make us more determined tonight. More fervent in spirit, Lord. More sincere in our motives and our objectives. More dedicated to your service. More consecrated to your will. Heavenly Father, you deal with us, Lord. Bear your spirit, Lord. You know us, Lord. Even before our members were formed and written and put in a book, you knew us, Lord. God, I pray as you search us, as you feel that this is a time of taking inventory, while you're speaking to us and while you're making these things plain, while you can feel the holy hush of the Holy Spirit. And Jacob said, this is a dreadful place. This is the house of God. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Father, I pray tonight. All these fathers that you have gathered here, you know everyone, Lord. And oh God, them that are hungry and thirsty, after righteousness, they shall be filled. Them, oh God, who are wandering stars, bring them in their course, Father. Lord God, them that lack understanding, give it to them. They are weary and faint in their mind, fall the wayside, the feeble hands hang down. Their feet become lame until they depart. Oh God, pouring oil and wine, the balm, the healing. Come from within, oh God, and the feeble hands go back up. And their feet turn back in the path again. Oh God, them eagles that the storm has bring down and get among a bunch of pine squirrels, oh God. I pray, Father, quick and power come upon them to set them wings and fly back up into the heavenlies. God, shake us, Lord. Shake us in the place tonight, Lord. Make it real in our hearts. Let us not get away from it, Lord. When we lie down on our beds in the night watch, bring it back, oh God. When we kneel before the pray, when we meditate on the fellowship, bring it back fresh and real and teach us further with it, oh God. Hallelujah. We so want to see your perfect will done in our lives, Father. We so want to see your will, Lord, be flowing through us and be revealed and manifested flawlessly. We saw in the mind of Christ. Oh God, our prayer emanates in us. All the fiber of our being be controlled by the will of the Holy Spirit. Let it be so real to us as we look into the face of it, the things of the world will go straight with them in its light and its glory and its grace. Oh God, may you grant it. Bless your people. How they have sat attentively night after night, tired of where we come from work, sacrifice, come on early. Lord, we believe that's why you're blessing them like this, Lord. Because many have been faithful and been sacrificed and waiting, Lord, for the consolation of the bride. Oh God, what a peace it is for them, Lord, to see it and have the assurance to know that they are part of you, part of your work for this day. Bless them, Lord. Strengthen them. Take them to their home safely. Watch over them, protect them, Lord. Bring us back tomorrow night as we come back. Help them strengthen their body. Refreshed by the Holy Spirit. And as you have been leading me and giving me, oh God. Lord, none of my own wisdom, none of my own ability to study. Unloving God, no, as Father. But your amazing grace. Is your grace unto us because you love us, Lord. You want us to understand this all. Give us more, Lord, and make it plain unto us, Father. May we hear, not hear us, but doers of the word, Lord. To apply it, and just talk about it, Lord. That might have effect in our lives. Go with us now, we pray. We commit everyone to your hands. Thank you for the blessing we have received tonight. I'm looking forward to meeting with you again tomorrow night as we gather together like this. We ask it for your honor and your glory. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. If you have your seat, let's sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this world sit in Eden. So bright and shining, they grow strangely dim in the light, the illumination of His glory and His grace, His word unto you. Love for and His wonderful and the things and the things of this world. Can't come out and live tomorrow. Come pray it up again.